Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNRadio.com/Behind the Badge.
Good afternoon, Chicago. Welcome to Home Sweet Home Chicago Radio Show. I am your host, David Hochberg. Congratulations, NU basketball, on that great win. We are here till 6 o'clock. The phone lines are open. The text line is open. The photo line is open. That's the MegaPros call, text, and photo line. 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. We got a packed show, but we start every show with that one, buddy. How many miles to Chicago?
106 miles to Chicago. We got a full tank of gas, half a pack of cigarettes. It's dark, and we're wearing sunglasses. Hit it.
Hello, Chicago!
My name is David Hochberg, host of Home Sweet Home Chicago.
That's the best in the city of Chicago.
Where you from?
Chicago. Chicago.
We're on a mission from God.
It's time for Home Sweet Home Chicago. Here's David Hochberg.
312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. WGNDavid.com is the website to listen online if you are in an area that you would like to listen to us and stream the show, because the signal might not be too strong. You go to WGNDavid.com, click on the button that says stream, and away we go. 312-981-7200. We're here till 6. We're going to start the show with introductions. Lauren Dayton. Sorry, it used to be Lauren Shue, Stephen. It's now Lauren Dayton because she got married. Lauren Shue Dayton, longtime friend of the show. You were on when we were at further down the dial, a little
many
south.
Many years ago.
Many years ago. You're with Jameson Southersby. Welcome to the show. And what are you going to be talking about today, Lauren Shue?
Thank you for having me.
Dayton. Is it Dayton? It's Dayton.
It's Dayton.
Gosh dang it.
Lauren Dayton.
Lauren Dayton from Jameson Southersby.
Sotheby's.
It's Lauren.
You're realtor. So good with names, David.
Lauren, the realtor from the city of Chicago. What are we talking about today, Lauren?
Well, we're going to talk about my buyer.
Yes, our buyer.
Dave, our buyer.
Our mutual friend who bought a home.
Mutual friend that you referred over. And Dave is closing on his new house in a couple of weeks, if all the time frame goes well. And we're going to talk about the market. Things are good.
Yep.
Things are rolling. We're having a really busy early spring market. I'm very busy. Things are going under contract quickly. They're not lasting very long,
right,
which is great.
And that's a perfect example of how it works. Dave is friends with a bunch of our friends who you've helped and I've helped. And he's like, hey, I want to use Lauren, you know, because Lauren helped my other friends out. I'm like, sure, I'll get you Lauren's number. So and we got it done. And we're going to talk about the transaction, because he bought one place, it went south. You found some telltale signs that maybe you shouldn't be buying this. First-time home buyer.
Yep.
Late 20s, early 30s. He's got some money. He had some credit challenges that we got cleaned up relatively quick. And
right.
You helped him buy two places.
Basically, yeah. First one, I helped him look at, you know, we looked at a bunch of properties. We narrowed down to search. We looked at what was out there in inventory, and the first property that he was going to purchase, we went under contract with during the inspection. I just told him, there's too many red flags here. I think this property has issues. I think it has a lot of water infiltration, a lot of signs. That's why you hired me, not just to go open doors and look at houses, to tell you if I see things in which you should avoid.
An experienced realtor that has been in more condos than this young man has been in the past 20 years. If our listeners want to reach out to you during the show and ask you questions,
sure.
Where do they go?
312-909-1329.
312-981-7200, MegaPros call, text, and photo line. Frank Wasilewski is back from his trip to Granger, Indiana, and you met a nice young lady who gave me an unbelievable assortment of Amish delectables. Deliciousness. And
they looked fantastic. They almost didn't make it here.
I got corn relish that I never heard of before, so I can't wait to dig into that. And we talked with Mary, I believe.
Mary,
Mary, you went out to see if you could install a lift for Mary. I asked her. She lived in Granger. She was busting my chops. Oh, have you ever heard of a small town called South Bend, Indiana? I'm like, all right, I like this lady already. So I'm like, all right, if you're going to start busting back, I want some Amish jam. Hello? And she delivered. So thank you, Mary. What are you going to be discussing on today's show there, Frank Wasilewski?
Today I'm going to talk about the process of putting in a home elevator and what you, the different thought processes and steps you need to plan for if you're looking to put one into your home.
An actual elevator or a lift to go up and down?
We're going to talk about the whole process.
So
we'll start with lifts and then go all the way up to the home elevator.
Do you offer a home elevator that moves faster than a turtle, like something that actually goes
turbocharge
quickly?
Turbo.
Unfortunately, code does not allow it to go any faster.
So that's the reason. It's code.
It's code.
Okay.
So after you put it in, is there a switch that, is there a circuit breaker that Lauren Dayton can remove to make it go faster? Because this lady right here, nothing slow on this lady. She's turbocharged, right? Caffeine, boom, right? Decaf, no such thing. It's for wimps. This lady right here, she doesn't have time to wait for an elevator to go up and down. Is there a switch that when you put an elevator in Lauren's new home in Wilmette, because she's no longer a city gal, she's a North Shore mom, is there a way to give it a turbocharge off the record? No, you know, the city inspectors in Wilmette will be all right with it.
You do realize if I say yes to
I understand
I'm going to lose my license.
Yeah,
right?
we'll do it off air.
But the answer is no. Unfortunately, okay. It's all pre-programmed nowadays with computers, and we cannot adjust that.
Phone number for our listeners want to reach out to?
630-616-6249.
Tax man, Mr. Stephen A. Leahy, all over the place. John Williams Show, John Hansen Show, Mike Gallagher Show.
David Hochberg Show.
David Hochberg Show, Forbes Magazine. For love of God, do you ever work or get anything done, media mogul?
The answer is no.
Okay, John Records Landecker Show.
That's right.
And let's not, and Lisa, Lisa's show coming up, because I told her you're going to be driving me crazy until you're on. So you're going to be on Lisa Dent's show coming up. What are you talking about today?
Today I'm going to talk about the facial recognition and the IRS. That's been in the news a lot, and I get that question a lot. I'm also going to discuss Section 179 write-offs. So that's what we'll do. I know we had our friend Tracy Kahn talk about that a couple weeks ago, so that's, I thought I would just tell people what that is and why it's so important for small businesses to understand what that is.
Because it's tax time right now.
Yeah.
Everybody got their W-2s at the end of January, right? Our payroll department came out and said, go online. It's all there. So now everybody's starting to file their taxes. You got to file electronically now. Are they taking any by mail anymore?
They are taking stuff by mail, but more than 95% of all tax returns are filed electronically.
Okay.
And that's what happened last year. That's why they're still far behind, because they had so many changes and they had to start doing them by paper and change them. That's why they're still doing last year's tax returns today, this year, still.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah, they're behind in everything.
And we're going to be talking about that if you're looking to buy a home and you're self-employed and need to have taxes done, probably not a good idea to mail your taxes in if you're under a time crunch. Because you're not going to be able to get a mortgage if you can't show that the IRS received it. And I've got a great story, a horrible story, but a good learning lesson for our listeners who can use the information that are self-employed. 312-981-7200 is the MegaPost call, text, and photo line. We have a professional installer by the name of Jay Thompson in here. I moved into my home last March, and have not hung up one thing.
That's amazing.
In a new home. You know why? Because I'm smart. Because there's no shot that I'm gonna knock a hole in a brand new drywalled home and screw anything up. Because I would. Absolutely. Jay, what are we talking about today? Welcome to the show, Jay. What are we talking about?
I'm an art installer, and do it the right way.
Art store. See, Steve, it's that simple. See how concise?
Yes.
Took him 12 seconds to get that out, and you're rambling for five. Yeah, the code 17542-6. We're going to be talking about that. Jason Art Installer, and we're going to talk about how he installs art. That's how it's done.
I help people with taxes.
Yeah, well, you blew your chance. 312-981-7200. We got a packed show. Packed show. We're on till 6. Lauren, we're going to come back with you first, and we're going to throw it over to our team of experts. Ladies always go first, Frank. You know that it's a proper thing to do. We're male etiquette here. We're all about getting the information out, and Lauren's got great information. 312-981-7200. MegaPros call, text, and photo line. This is Home Sweet Home Chicago on 720 WGN. 312-981-7200. Go to WGNDavid.com, WGNDavid.com. So Lauren, a mutual friend was buying a home. use me, their friends use me to do their financing, use you to buy and sell their homes. So yes. It was a, you know, hey, he called me up to get pre-approved. I said, great. She's like, yeah, can you introduce me to Lauren? I'm like, sure, let me get this side of the transaction done. Young man, single, makes decent money, you know, great guy, wants to get into a condo. I've been talking to him for a year. I made the recommendation, pay your credit cards down every Friday like I have on the radio sure. hundreds of times in order to keep your credit utilization low, your credit utilization high by keeping your balances low. That'll improve your credit scores. So by the time a year goes by now, when you buy a home, you'll be above 700. It'll be easy for everybody, especially if you want a quick close.
Right. That's what I tell my clients. You... If you're going to buy a home next year, you shouldn't call your lender a month before you're ready to start shopping. Go now. Call now. Get ready. Get things rolling. Look at everything. Look at your credit. Look at what maybe there's a medical bill on there that you didn't know about.
Parking ticket.
Parking ticket. Right. Stuff that just brings your score down that you could clean up now a year out so that you're prepared.
And this young man thanked me profusely up and down. Thank you very much for the great idea. Year later comes around, right? Talked to him last year at Descent, run his credit, didn't do anything that I told him to do, 675 credit score. He's like, I want to buy a condo with 5% down. I'm like, I'm sure you do. I'm like, phenomenal. Not a Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, because your condo's not FHA approved, so we can't get an FHA approval in there. He's like, I don't want to go FHA, and I stopped fighting with him. I'm like, okay, well, listen, I want to get into a pair of 30-inch pants as well. I'm almost there, but not today. So long story short, pulled his credit. He had about $12,000 to $15,000 worth of credit card debt. Mm-hmm. Paid off all his credit card debt. Credit scores went from 675, which we ran it through with 5% down, got a decline. He had to put 20% down in order for us to get it through because of the credit score and the high balances he was carrying on his credit cards. I'm like, you gotta come up with $12,000, pay down your credit card, and your credit scores will shoot over 700. He did. Credit scores came out to 718, reran it with a new credit score. Went through at 5% down. Plus, he got a much lower rate because of the higher credit score. And you were able to go and buy him and locate him the condo of his dream. He's like, I love this place. I got a unit down, a garden unit. Take it from there.
So, went home shopping. My partner, Bert, actually took him out the first couple of times. And we narrowed some property down. And he made an offer on one property that he really liked the most. And, you know, you can't see through the walls. I can't. You can, you know, do your best, but everything seemed okay until we got to inspection. And that's when the inspector came in who can see through the walls because they have a thermal camera. This camera picks up everything. And he said, Lauren, I'm seeing major signs of water down here. In fact, when I opened the furnace and looked in it, I can see about a foot up. It's all rusted. That tells me that water's been in this basement and it's been sitting. Otherwise, this shouldn't be all rusted out. So that was red flag number one. And then a few other things happened. We noticed that the back door also had a rust stain that was up kind of high. So we had made multiple signs of evidence that there had been standing water at some point in that basement. Was it last year? Was it 10 years ago? I'm not sure. Then when we used the thermal camera on the walls, they could see a couple areas that there was one area that you could see some mold coming through. Oh, one nice. Area was wet. I told them, this is a bad deal. Too many red flags. I see too many signs of water infiltration.
What about the caulk?
Tell us about that. That was a good one. Well, just, I mean, if you think about it, how often do you caulk the bottom of your baseboards? And in the basement, just along the baseboards, if you looked closely, there was clear caulk. So it wasn't noticeable unless you get close, right? Because it's clear. But they had caulked the bottom with clear caulk. And I said, that's definitely obviously a sign that they're trying to keep water out from here. It's coming in from somewhere. It must be seeping. And, you know, some basements can get a little bit of seepage. That can be normal. It doesn't mean freak out. But, I mean, this was signs that there was water in multiple areas that, you know, it's obviously coming from the exterior. We don't know what they're... if the association's been sealing the block properly, multiple things it could have been. And I just told them, unless you're willing to rip out these walls down here and see what's going on behind them, I just don't think it's a good deal. I think there's going to be better things to buy, better deals out there. Do you want to open up this can of worms? It's his choice, not mine, but I'm just helping him
make the right decision.
The red flags.
Right.
Yeah. And he said, no, I don't want to do that because most people don't. Who does? Unless you're getting a really great deal on something that it's worth doing that and worth putting the money into. In this case, it just wasn't. So we terminated the contract, called you, let you know, hold
done.
Done. Don't order an appraisal. we're going to move on to another property. We went back through our inventory and wrote a contract on our second favorite, and inspection was today. Things went very well. My inspector used the thermal camera again. We didn't find any evidence of water. Everything went good.
What was the reaction of the buyer, this young man, first-time home buyer? He's been renting for the past 5 years, very successful in what he does, but he doesn't buy homes every single day, right? I mean, he does, he's very successful. You know, and some people, you know, caulking is a big deal. Stephen A. Leahy likes to caulk his shoes, the bottom of his shoes. Not too many people do that. It's a little awkward, but that's the way Stephen A. Leahy rolls. What was his reaction when you brought all of this to his attention?
He was, of course, he's a little disappointed because he really liked the condo. But he said, you know, Lauren, if you're seeing a lot of red flags and you're not comfortable with it and you do this every day, you go to these inspections, you've been to hundreds of them, I trust you. I mean, if you think this is, you know, if this isn't good, then let's move on. You know, he said, do you think the sellers would come down on price? I said, possibly, sure. But where do we start? I can't comfortably tell you this is going to be $5,000. This could be $30,000.
Sure.
I don't know until you rip out those walls and see what's going on. And then you get into association issues. Does the exterior wall have to be handled first? And is that an association responsibility? Because now you're going to be fighting with a board to fix
the outside.
An exterior wall properly before you can go spend the money fixing your interior wall. So once I started, you know, breaking that down with him and talking about it, he just said, yeah, no, I'm out. It's fine. Let's get going. But he said, that's why I hired you, because I don't do this every day.
Was it on the disclosure that they had water challenges in the basement of this condo?
No.
Now that the seller knows that there's water challenges because you brought it to their attention, they should legally have to go back and make the change. Is that a true or false statement?
They should now go and fix these issues. They should go and either make the change on the disclosure or get them fixed.
Right.
And let you know, and then disclose, this came up recently and we fixed it.
What percentage actually of sellers actually does that?
I would say it's clients that I have.
Yes.
Always.
Okay.
Because a lot of times people, if something does come up on inspection like that, especially if it's a homeowner that's living in the home, chances are they didn't know about it.
Right.
Typically, that's the case. This property was owned by investors. Multiple people owned it. It's been rented for years. So, it very well could be that those investors don't live there. They're not there. Yeah. They don't go open the furnace and look inside.
Yep.
They're not hanging out in that basement. So unless a tenant complains about it, they might not have known either.
And now they got a big, fat problem. We got to take a quick break. If our listeners want to reach out to you, what's the best number, Lauren?
312-909-1329.
312-981-7200. It's a MegaPro's call, text, and photo line. This is Home Sweet Home Chicago on 720 WGN.
Home Sweet Home Chicago.
Well, I don't know what you got going on there. It's just like
the black and white flannel.
Yeah, it's kind of dull.
Your shirt looks like white noise on an analog television set.
Ted Nugent called. He wants his shirt back.
Hey, Jordan Burnfield, you want to chime in here? He's trying to deflect his anger on my static analog TV, as if anybody knows what all that means.
Hey, if I saw myself in clothes like those, I'd have to kick my own
I haven't seen your shirt, so I can't comment.
I think it looks fantastic.
It might be the camera.
It might be your eyes.
Now, here's David Hochberg and Home Sweet Home Chicago.
312-981-7200. We have a special treat for Don Kleppen next weekend. Next weekend is our Vest-a-thon. We're raising money for the Chicago Police Memorial Foundation to buy bulletproof vests for the officers of the Chicago Police Department. I have got a special treat in 2 weeks for Mr. Kleppen. That I think everybody will enjoy. He's a huge Packer fan, and everybody, all the Bears fans' hearts were broken when Robbie Gould, my good friend Robbie Gould, kicked the game-winning field goal with no time left. You might see an appearance of Robbie Gould on a future show. Just saying. 312-981-7200, or you might not, but most likely you probably will. 312-981, and he might reference kicking the game-winning field goal and have a conversation with Don Kleppen. 312-981-7200. Go to WGNDavid.com. That is our website, our webpage on the WGN website that has all of our contact information. Frank Wazalewski from Access. We're not calling it Access Elevator. We're calling it Access now. Because your main focus of the company is that you helping people gain access, right, to their homes, their basements, their bathrooms, their showers, their car, their van. All of the different things that our listeners have challenged gaining access to, that is what Access is all about. And you're going to talk about in-home elevators And the first question before you start going is how likely are they showing up in homes right now, or how prevalent are they in homes, in home elevators? I guess I should be asking Lauren, who helps buy and sell a home. But installing new elevators, is that realistic after a home has been built?
Yes, it's actually very realistic after a home's been built. It's a little bit more challenging sometimes depending on the design of the home, where we can put the elevator. It's much easier doing it when a new home is being built. Ideally, you always want to go from commonplace to commonplace on a floor, so you're not taking up space in a bedroom or building on the outside of the house. But there are obviously, many ways we can make one fit into a home.
All right, that's Stephen A. Leahy, all that noise. That was Stephen A. Leahy, leaving. So if everybody's wondering if somebody had, passed out, no. We don't know why Stephen left, but I'm sure he'll be back. We don't know what just happened here. So if you're wondering if a pack of elephants just went through the entire studio, you can thank Stephen A. Leahy for that. So let's talk about elevators. What's the price points of an elevator? What is an investment level of an elevator?
It really all depends, because there are many different types of elevators, and it depends on how many floors you want to hit, and what really the big driver in cost is how much construction we have to do to make the elevator fit. Starting with the lift, which is just always only going to go two stories or two floors, those range in price from $25,000 to $50,000. Okay. Fully constructed and installed. Again, depending on what we have to do in order to get it in place. When we start hitting 4 or 5 levels, some of the brownstones down here in Chicago, we can get up into the $150,000, $200,000 range, again, depending on the construction lease.
How big are these elevators? Is it a one-person elevator? Is it a two-person elevator? Is it an elevator wide enough and long enough to get a wheelchair in it?
Yes, so it's yes on all of the fronts. So we are limited by code to 15 square feet. So you're typically doing a 40 by 54 or a 36 by 60 interior clear space elevator cab.
Inches.
Okay. We can always go down smaller, and we do them smaller. We do one-man elevators where you just can go in there, sit on a chair, and ride it up, but it's only going to fit you. If you have somebody with a disability or you are planning for a disability, we want to max out as much space as possible.
So my mother, I talk about on the show all the time when she was alive, she had a mechanical wheelchair, right, with the joystick and all that stuff, and it was a big machine, right? It had a lot of... It went upstairs. It was unbelievable, this machine. So that is a larger width elevator, right? Because it had the thicker wheels and all the other stuff. That elevator can fit one of those larger up and down stairs type of heavy duty elevators, heavy duty wheelchairs.
Yes. So we can plan for that. We can also, somebody in your, that is in a power wheelchair that has the ability to get around but may not be able to push buttons, we can automate everything. So we can automate the doors, the gates, we can automate the controls so that they can control it from their wheelchair.
Are you seeing a lot of houses with elevators when you're selling? Because you predominantly handle a lot of property in the city and the North Shore. Is it prevalent in these houses now?
It comes up here and there. It comes up more in townhomes.
Townhomes.
Yeah. So actually in South Loop, in one of the townhomes we lived in the past, it was 4 stories and it did have an elevator.
Okay.
But there's only in my area in which we lived, there were 6 townhomes on that strip that all, I think 4 out of 6 of them had an elevator. In the majority of the townhomes in that area don't have them, but I would say it comes up the most when I'm showing, let's just say I had a listing last year. It did not have an elevator. It was a 4-story townhome. And in the middle, if you picture a staircase, there was a pretty good size where you could see all the way down from the top, all the way down to the basement. People would say, do you think we could install an elevator here? And it really wasn't for that particular buyer. It was for when their mom comes over, their dad comes over, when they come from out of town and they stay for 2 weeks, they really couldn't, do all those stairs.
Because everything in the city in order to get space is all vertical.
It was, it's vertical. So
yeah,
it's... like I said, not necessarily for them. It was just for family members, but it came up many times. So
there you go. I never thought of that.
Yeah, we do a lot in the Chicago brownstones.
Yeah, I could see it, especially in single family homes. Yeah, you see them.
Yes.
Interesting. So financing opportunities on something like that.
Yeah, so we have financing on our website. You can go on and apply for financing is through a third party. So we have that. You can do a reverse mortgage, which, yeah, you know, I'd refer them to you for that. And then, you know, obviously there's
which is a great purpose of a reverse mortgage, not selling a reverse mortgage here, but is to keep the experienced homeowner in the home that they've lived in for a long period of time to make it easier for that experienced homeowner that's lived in that house 20, 30, 40, 50 years to continue to live in those homes safely and get around and do everything and function normally without help, but they can't get up and down the stairs now safely anymore. And some just can't get down up and down the stairs at all. So it's I didn't think about the reverse mortgage is a great way to financing. Home equity line of credit with BMO Harris is another great way. Refinancing your home and building it into the mortgage is another great way. Cash is always king. I'm sure you love cash. But it's good that there's financing opportunities available. How long does it usually take to install? The permitting in and of itself could be a challenge.
It depends. The permitting inside of City of Chicago for the construction can be 6 months. The permitting for the elevator itself, 2 days.
Two days.
Yeah, the elevator department in Chicago is fantastic about turning around.
Is it steel? Permit. Is it channel? Is it aluminum? What are you using on the outside structure to build that?
We want it to blend into the house. So we will build it out of wood. We'll build it out of brick. We'll build it out. We want, when we're done, if we're building an elevator on the outside of the house, we want it to blend into that house like it was always there from the beginning.
Really?
Yes, every time.
So, but the guts, are you using I-beam, are you using channel, are you using steel, or is it stainless, is it aluminum, you know, with all the gears taking it up and down?
The elevator itself, yeah, the rails and components are made out of steel.
All steel.
Right, but okay. The what holds all of that is typically just wood. Or cinder block.
Come on.
And then we want to blend all of that into, you know, we want to blend the exterior into the home. And then obviously when we cut doors open or go through a floor, we want to blend it in to make it look like it was always a part of that house.
Interesting. All right. If our listeners want more information about lifts, any type of list, right?
Access, any type of accessibility.
Accessibility into and out of bathrooms and showers and
correct,
all that. What's the best number to reach you?
630-616-6249 or allaboutaccess.com.
All right. We have a break coming up here. Then Stephen A. Leahy, if we could find where Stephen A. Leahy went, because he literally went into the witness protection program. Maybe the IRS is knocking and wants some court answers to their questions, and Stephen had to run out to take a call or something. But Stephen will be coming back up after the break talking about all the new rules and some recommendations when filing your taxes this year. This is Home Sweet Home Chicago, 312-981-7200 is the MegaPro's call, text, and photo line. And you're listening on 720 WGM. 312-981-7200 is the MegaPro's call, text, and photo line. 312-981-7200. Stephen A. Leahy, we are here until 6 to answer all your real estate questions. Stephen A. Leahy, the IRS is coming at a lot of our listeners with a lot of different, well, coming at all of our listeners with a bunch of different rules. I know you want to get into facial recognition because that's a hot topic of yours, but I know it's filing season, and Lauren and I have this challenge all of the time when it comes to self-employed individuals that want to buy homes, or commissioned individuals that want to buy a home. You need 2 years of commission incomes, and the only way to show that is what's on your tax returns. Okay, so in the past, some of our listeners would file it via the mail, as if it's 1942 and we don't have a computer. Okay, so it's critical to file it electronically, and here's why. If you file a tax return, Steve, on Lauren and my's world, and you owe $2,352, okay, and you file your income taxes electronically, and you transmit $2,532 to the IRS, which is what you owe, the lenders will take those tax returns, even though it hasn't been generated a 4506. 4506 is the electronic returns that is generated by the IRS after our listeners submit their tax returns. Because the underwriter will say, well, why is this individual who filed their tax return showing that they owe $2,562 paying the IRS $2,562 if they don't owe the IRS $2,562? So that's why it's critical. And that's been a pretty much a major trend going forward in the past 5 years. Right?
Talk about electronic filing?
Electronic filing.
It's been a trend for a long time, but now it's about, as I mentioned, it's more than 95% of all tax returns are now done electronically. Remember last time I was here, just a couple weeks ago, I gave out the
tinyurl.
tinyurl.com/WGN free file. If you make less than $73,000, you can get it done electronically for free. And the software is out there for free, and it'll be electronic. You don't have to worry about it. I'm always shocked by how much you know about taxes, David.
I don't want to know as much as I know. Because I'll tell you what. We had a guy who didn't file his taxes electronically. We could not get his IRS tax transcripts. We were ready to go to close his loan, cash out 40, 50 grand, save him about $800, $900 a month. So we had to wait until the tax returns made it through the system because everybody filed in October and they were backed up because of COVID, whatever. Yeah. Then what happens? Okay, this borrower goes out, co-signs for his kid's loan, car loan, $600, and he blows himself up. Okay, I had a loan clear to close, would have saved him $700, $800, $900 a month, whatever it was. Then, for some unknown reason, he didn't hear the part, don't open anything, don't close anything, don't do anything until you close your loan. He goes out and co-signs for an auto loan, and he was like squeezing by, you know, trying to get in the pair of pants super tight with his thighs lubed up with axle grease, and a $600 payment threw him completely out of whack, and all that work that we did for him to try to save him, all that money that we were going to save him, got blown up because this genius didn't file his tax returns electronically. And all he had to do was file electronically.
And again, a lot of people think that if you file with your paper, it's going to be better for you. You're less likely to get audited, and that's just not true. Because even if you do it, what happens when you do a paper tax return? The IRS takes it and puts it in electronically, but it has to be processed by a person, and the IRS is so far behind now. There's no person there to do it. To process it. So I've had to, especially if you're doing older tax returns, the two reasons why people come to see me, the two biggest reasons why people come, besides guilt, because what if you haven't filed for 5 years?
Grooming tips.
They want to buy a home?
Yes.
Or they're going to get married?
Or the IRS is going to take their condo and kick them out of their condo.
That happens too. But generally when people haven't filed it in 5 years, that's the motivation is, hey, you know, I want to get married and she won't marry me or he won't marry me. It's usually he won't. She won't marry me if I don't do my taxes.
Really?
Yes. And even though if they got married, she wouldn't be liable for his tax, for any of his tax bill. But that's just two big reasons. And then the other one, as you just mentioned, buying a home. If I want to buy a home, I have to have tax returns. And so that motivates a lot of people to get it done. You have to get it done, so you might as well get it done.
Lauren?
Do they think that if I marry him and he hasn't filed his taxes in 5 years, I'm going to have to be responsible for that?
A lot of people believe that.
Yeah,
right?
I could see that.
And so, and again, you can set them straight, but still, there's still going to be an obligation.
And you could explain it to them and they would still say,
yes, I want the taxes.
I want him to finish this before we get married.
Exactly.
I bet even though they're hearing this from you, they still think, well, what if?
Yeah, and so it's better if he gets it done.
I could see a lot of guys, another reason for not filing their taxes because they don't want to get married. You see, there's the yang to the yang.
I could see that.
I'm not getting married. I'm not filing those tax returns.
She won't marry me.
She won't marry me. Hey.
Oh, well.
I'm still a free agent. Come on, let's go. I didn't know that. That's interesting. I'm happily married. I'm fully taken. Stop looking at me like that. It's fine. No, but that I did not know that. That's completely
Of course, getting a good night's sleep is another good reason to get your tax returns done, right? Because people have a problem sleeping in the, you know, because they're worried, you should be. I just had someone come to see me this week. Hadn't filed in 8 years.
How do you do that?
Happens all the time. Again, here's what happens. You're going to do your tax returns. You're going to owe the IRS money. You think, oh, I can't pay him right now. I'll pay him. I'll get the money, and then I'll take care of it. And then you
8 years later,
and they all, and I can't tell you some people that haven't filed in 8 years, but every year they ask for an extension.
Yeah.
So they said, well, I got an extension, but you only get the extension until October. So it doesn't work forever.
I tell you what, I know you want to talk about facial recognition, Jay. I know I said I'd bring you on after, but I got my producer Andrew chiming in my ear, counting down as if you know this radio station is going to implode if we don't hit it on exactly at the quarter hour. Take it easy, Andrew. I got this ship on the. Heading down the right track here. 312-981-7200. 7200. We're going to talk about facial recognition coming back out of the break. 312-981-7200. This is Home Sweet Home Chicago on 720 WGM.
Home Sweet Home Chicago.
It's a good show.
John Landecker played that song for my intro as I was on his show this week.
Oh, look at her dropping the John Records Landing.
I got so many more views.
Did you know I was on John Records Landing? I don't know if I told you.
Do you know how many more people watch his show? Or
but when I was on with John Records Landing.
Wow, you guys are really insecure.
Yeah, I'm starting to think you're right about that.
Oh, this is just the tip of the iceberg.
No, I didn't.
Now, here's David Hochberg and Home Sweet Home Chicago.
There was Mega Pros Joe. Long, you know.
I was hoping I'd see him today.
He's in Mexico with a tequila someplace. And that is his drink, not his girlfriend's name. Yes.
I was walking out of one of my townhouse listings the other day. This is maybe 3 weeks ago. I was doing a showing and there was a Mega Pros
truck
parked in front of it. And two guys were sitting in it. And I just walked by and I said, Joe said to check on you guys. What are you doing? And they just both got off their phones and stared at me. I said, Joe asked me to see what you're doing. They just looked at me like totally confused. And I just said, I'm just kidding. I'm friends with Joe.
That's right.
Tell him I said hi. They just like looked like relief. Like
right.
He had spies on us because they weren't working. They were hanging out in the van. I don't know what they were doing. And they were both on their phones.
That's good. All right. That's good to know. 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. It's a MegaPros call, text, and photo line. Go to WGNDavid.com for all of our contact information. Facial recognition. Stephen A. Leahy, you are hot to trot. I heard about it from Old Orchard Road, Lauren, all the way to Ohio. I heard it for like 26 minutes. I timed it. He didn't stop talking about facial recognition. So why is that such a hot topic, and why are you so fired up?
It is a hot topic, and because the IRS now... First, we were mentioning how far behind they are and everything. The IRS only answers about 1 in 9 phone calls. Okay, so if you're looking for information, you're not going to get it from calling the IRS. So they've been directing people to their IRS.gov website. And as I mentioned, lots of information on IRS.gov. Hard to find because there's so much information. You know, if you're looking for something specific, hard to find it because there's so much. But there is sure. there is a lot of information there. And so they've been directing everybody to IRS.gov. And so now, coming the summer, they're going to require to in order to access your information on IRS.gov, they're going to require that you have an account with this company called ID.me. And this is a company that's... they require facial recognition. So you have to get this account, you have to give them a picture of a license or a government ID, picture ID. You have to give them some information from your credit report. You have to take a selfie and give them that selfie and then be interviewed by somebody.
I did that. I had to get my 40. I was refinancing at the end of the year. And I had to get I had to do all that. My 4506 was not coming back. My taxes were filed. I had to go through exactly what you just said. And I had to get a credit card as well.
So it's like pre-check?
It's a TSA pre-check. That's exactly what it is.
It is and it isn't. And at least the pre-check, you know, they're not getting your biometric information and putting it in some database that they can't even protect our own tax returns. How are they going to protect that? To me, I don't know if people realize this, but in Illinois, we're very restricted here in Illinois for biometric information. There was a law passed in 2008 that protects citizens of Illinois from biometric giving biometric information to companies without specific written permission to do so.
Okay.
And most other states it's not like that, but here in Illinois it is. And now some people, is like David's, like when we were driving down, 7 of 10 people think that this is a good idea. I don't think it's a good idea because I think that your biometric information, that's you. I mean, I don't think the government or anybody, it's not even the government really, it's a third party. And they said, well, it's going to be voluntary. It's not really voluntary if the only way I can get access to my information is to have to give them this
all of your information.
Yeah, all my information. And it's, again, there's nothing more personal than your biometric information, in my opinion. And so,
especially when you have superior biometric information like yourself.
That's right?
I can understand why you would be a little
offset. But here's what's happened. And I've been talking about it for about a week and a half now because this is when they first announced it. And now there's a bipartisan coalition in Congress that's bringing legislation to ban it. We'll see if that happens. But remember, we talked about the bank statements,
yeah.
And there was a bipartisan group that got together, and that never passed. So maybe this won't pass. No.
What about Clear at the airport? I signed up for Clear, right? You know, where they do the eye recognition and the fingerprints. So I did my eye check and my fingerprints, and some representative takes me right up to TSA, whoop, right through the line. It's great.
So I did it too. Yeah. I just did it a couple weeks ago.
It's fantastic.
Anything to not wait in line.
Right.
Sign up for. You can have all my biometrics.
Steve's frosting over here. Steve.
No. If you, it's totally fine if that's what you want to do, but you shouldn't be required to do it. Okay. Especially to get information from the government.
Right.
You shouldn't be required to do it.
I was trying to get my tax information confirmed from the IRS, which is a division of my government, and I'm going through a third party. I thought it was a little crazy, too. I'm like, who are you? You know, nice young lady sitting in an office. She's like, what's your name? I had to go through like three questions, right? You know, Social Security, you know, what's your, where were you born? What's your mother's maiden name? And I had a credit card number, I think. Yep. I think something like, yep, that, mm-hmm, you know, to verify a credit card that I would have that only I would know. So it was crazy. I just thought it was weird that a third party,
exactly,
was checking for the IRS. Just a little odd.
I have.
But it was the only way I could get the information I needed to do my loan.
I understand, and then they say, "Well, that's voluntary," but I'm not really voluntary. I need it. You're making me do these things, and I never really stopped and thought about it,
yeah,
right? Because you never think, wait a minute. This, as you said, seems odd, yeah, right? And I probably shouldn't have to do this, in my opinion.
312-981-7200. And so I got another story. You ready for this one?
Yes.
70-year-old accountant. I did a commercial for it. Our listeners are going to be hearing for it. 70-year-old attorney hasn't paid taxes in years. Had $100-some thousand tax lien against his condo. Went to his CPA's banker and his tax attorney's banker to get refinanced. Couldn't get refinanced. Sorry, Mr. Jones wasn't his name. You got to sell your condo. We can't get you a loan. Turns out he had over $1 million in retirement assets, which you always say is protected, and the IRS can't get to it. Is that
no,
true?
No, that's no.
It's not true anymore.
No, it's never been true. Your creditors can't get to it, but the IRS can.
IRS can.
But your creditors cannot. So okay. In Illinois, it's protected.
Okay, so what we did was we did a stream of income. You know, we used the retirement assets to calculate a certain amount of income, which we were able to get it done. His condo appraised for more than he thought. Whammo bammo, we paid off $120,000. I think it was $120,000 IRS tax lien on his Lakeshore Drive condo over here. And I'm like, well, what have you been doing? He's like, well, I've been hearing your commercial. I'm like, why didn't you call me? He's like, well, my CPA said go here. My tax attorney said go there. And we got it done, right? Saved his condo. That happens all the time. Here's an attorney, right? You guys are supposed to be the smartest of the smartest of the smart.
Well, I think we are. But
which, obviously, it depends. It all depends. There's one of your things.
That's my favorite legal answer.
Here, I'll tell you how you're smart. You bill no matter what if you win a case or you don't win a case, right? I mean, we've got 3 years in a lawsuit I'm in the middle of, and the attorney bills keep coming. Nothing gets done.
When an attorney loses a case, it's because, hey, the facts are the facts.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't control the facts.
Yeah, and they
but when they win a
their
case, it's because of the law. I know the law so well. I got the winning.
Yeah, and they tapped out their client. Their client can't breathe anymore. 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. Any other nugget of knowledge you want to leave us with?
I got a lot, but I'll have to wait.
But 8 years, this attorney, right? 70-year-old guy.
A lot of my clients are attorneys. A lot of my clients are realtors. A lot of my clients, because these are the people that work, when you work for yourself, these are the people that have problems with taxes. And, of course, these are the people that are being targeted. You know, again, everybody has to pay their taxes. That's just the way it works. Here's the good news. If you haven't filed in some time, you don't have to go back 10 years or 15 years and file all those tax returns. Okay, so don't panic if that's what you're worried
about.
How
many years do you have to go back?
Generally 6 years.
That's it.
Because this is what the IRS calls compliance. So they won't let you get into a payment plan or anything unless you're in compliance. And their compliance is 6 years.
So if you made a ton of money 10 years ago, not trying to skim the system, but you know I always look for cracks. And then you basically want to go have a 6-year run of horrible income, right? At least on your taxes, so the IRS can't come and get you.
Well, again, they can come and get you. They just generally won't.
Okay.
Right? So they can. There are exceptions when they go beyond 6 years, but they generally won't. And it takes supervisor's approval, and they have to, that's what the rules are. Because, again, I always tell people, the IRS is more concerned with you being in compliance than they are with you paying your taxes. Now, that doesn't mean they don't want you to pay your taxes. They want you to pay your taxes. But they want you to be in compliance, filing your tax return on time and paying on time.
I think your wife just texted in here. Your guest is spot on. One, no one should ever willingly give over biometric information, federal facial recognition, fingerprints to open your phone, and especially DNA for genealogy. This info is being directly and possibly attributed to the individuals can create a serious vulnerability, and the IRS is negligent asking for it, especially as deep fake technology evolves, making it easy to spoof facial recognition.
Do you know what deep fake technology is?
No.
They can use your voice and make you say anything that they want you to say.
Gotcha.
And it sounds just like you.
Unless, of course, you're like Lauren and I and are tired of waiting in lines and you want to get through an airport line quicker.
Then, I'm like, clear.
Yeah,
here I come.
Here's all my biometrics. I'll go pee in a cup for you. Wait, how do I get through this line? I mean, whatever you need, right, Lauren?
I tried to sign my 3-year-old up. They were like, you have to be 18. I'm
and
like,
then Lauren just left her there and said, I'm out of here. Drop her off.
Really?
Hey, little sweetheart, you see this line? Stay here. I'll be on the other side smoking a cigarette. You're listening to Hope Sweet Home Chicago on 720 WGN. We have Jay Thompson, a art installer and picture hanger who did my home this week and did an amazing job. I wanted to introduce him to our listeners. 312-981-7200. That's the MegaPost call, text, and photo line. Steve, if our listeners want to reach you, how do they reach you?
You can go to ChicagoTaxTeam.com. Oh, actually, I should say WGN Tax. Man.com.
Right, you want to give seven other things?
I know.
Before the break,
I know.
30 seconds.
And 312-664-6649.
All right, that's Stephen A. Leahy. I'm David Hochberg. This is Home Sweet Home Chicago, AM 720 WGM.
Now back to David Hochberg and Home Sweet Home Chicago.
312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. Go to WGNDavid.com for all of our contact information. Thank you to all of the texters for sending in your numerous text messages. 312-981-7200. One said, I mentioned alternative to 800 Junk. There's a local company called Junk King, K-I-N-G, I see around town. And another one that I met with the owner about a year and a half ago. I cannot think of the name right now, but when I do, I will bring it up. So Jay was at my house. I moved into my new house in March of last year. We literally have, Jay, 150 pictures lying on the floor in some way, shape, or form throughout my new house. And I could have tried to put them up, but they're new drywall, right? Everything's new. It's a new house, Frank. What are you looking at me? Like, you're an idiot. You can't hang anything. Yes, I agree. I am an idiot. I can't hang anything. Because I popped so many holes in my old house that hanging things up that weren't straight, and then I'd hang two or three pictures together, and it'd be a quarter of an inch, and I'd drive myself bananas.
It's okay. My wife would tell me I can't hang anything either.
Except myself. So my wife finally went out, found a professional, Jay Thompson. And Jay, what do you do? How long have you been doing? I mean, you know, you're not a spring chicken here, okay? I mean, you've been doing it a couple of years. And how long have you been hanging pictures and hanging art?
20 years now.
20 years. What is the trick of hanging two pictures together? I'm not trying to be funny, even though I am hysterical. I'm not trying to make light of this, but whenever I tried to hang two pictures next to each other, I would get the level. I would get the tape measure. I would start from the ceiling. I'd go down 38 inches, pick a number. I'd make my hole. I would put my nail in because I would never use a hook. I would use a nail because I don't got time for hooks. I would just use a nail. And then I would hang it up there, and I'd go over however many inches to the other side of the wall because I had everything mapped out because I'm pretty good with math, at least I thought, right? And then I'm like, this is great. I didn't look at anything. I just put the pictures up, and it would never come in equal or balanced or exactly the same. Why?
I would say that, first of all, probably you're trying to hang those two pictures on the wires.
Yes.
Yes. So if the wires aren't properly installed on the back of the pictures, then where your hardware is not going to be the same.
It's the wire's fault. See?
And you're also probably hanging them on one hanger, one hook, and not two of them.
No. Well, who's got time for two hooks? I got one big gigantic nail.
Boom!
I pop it in there, not in a drywall, not in a 2x4, Jay, just right in the drywall, and I pray it doesn't fall down. What's wrong with that?
Well, you also don't need big nails. Use the proper hardware. Use the proper size nails. Your wife can show you the one little hole that shows. And my holes are about the size of a pushpin. You don't need big screws. You don't need to put anything with dollies or things like that in the wall. And that's why I told her. I said, do not call your general contractor.
Right, Frank.
You know. So you're saying you're using these little pins or what? Small. You know, you said pinholes. How much weight does that hold? How big of a pitcher can you put on one of those?
Well, if you use the hooks with it, then their hooks come in different sizes: 30 pounds, 50 pounds, 75 pounds, and you go accordingly. And they'll stabilize that small little nail that you put into that hook. If you use the hooks alone, you're probably only about 5-10 pounds.
I've got 6 shoeboxes. No joke. I'll take you to my house because I know you really want to come to my house, Frank. You're like saying, when can we come to
I dream about it every night.
Yeah, I know. It happens a lot. I've got 6 shoeboxes loaded with some type of hanging stuff that for pictures I can't hang straight, which it just tells you what an idiot I am. You know, I continue to save this stuff. Okay, I go to Michael's to get my stuff framed because that's where we go to get our stuff framed. And I take a handful of the hooks and I never use them because I don't know how to use them.
Well, probably most of the stuff you have is garbage anyway. So there's only one.
The hooks, not the artwork.
Yeah, there's if you go into a hardware store or a Lowe's or something, you're going to see all these different kinds of hooks, and there's really only one good hook that's available out there.
20 years hanging pictures.
Yeah.
What got you into hanging pictures? I mean, you know, you're
9/11.
9/11 got you into hanging. 9/11, look at that.
I was working in construction, and about a year later, the company I was working for changed their model and how they were doing it, so they didn't need me anymore, and they didn't need a lot of guys. So that's when you find out you really don't work for the construction company, you work for the union. And when you work for the union, they just send you back in a pool, and you know your name comes up a month later, and you work a one-day job, and then they put you back at the bottom of the pool, and you got. I said, I can't live like this.
Steve was a red striper.
I lived it, baby.
Yeah,
so, I was an iron worker for many years, and I lived off that. We called it the spike, the spindle.
Right. So fortunately, my uncle had been doing it for 20 years, and he said, "Why don't you come help me? I need some help right now. It's my busy time of the year, and you need the money." So the very first job I went to, I said, why don't you tell me what this is what you did for 20 years?
I'm inside. I'm dry. I'm clean. I got air conditioning in the summer. I got heat in the winter. And I'm not hanging off a beam like Steve.
Yeah, my own hours and don't work weekends if I don't have to. And so it all worked out. And, you know, he trained me for a couple months. And then he said, you're on your own. And went from there.
What's your territory?
I'll go just about anywhere, but I try to center on the North Shore.
Where's your base? I mean, where's your home office from?
Car.
Your car. Okay, smart guy. Where do you live? I thought you were talking to a lady in Granger over here.
Well, I live in Fox Lake, but I started in my base, my core of my people are in Lake Forest, Highland Park.
Okay, Northbrook. You come to the poor people in Northbrook?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, go to the people in Bannockburn, like Stephen A. Lee. You go to
Winnetka,
like, you know, our North Shore realtor.
Do a lot of Winnetka, do a lot of,
You go up to Lake Geneva and Fox Lake, you're right by
Lake
the border.
Lake Geneva, in the last two years, I've gotten so popular, and it's all word of mouth, or I've got a couple of framers or design stores up there who've referred me, and now I just block off Fridays in the summer for Lake Geneva.
Good for you.
And that's the way that works.
And then do you stay the whole weekend?
No, I'll stay for a few beers.
You will go further west. You will go further south if there's enough work in the house for you to do.
I have a couple designers who are down in Hinsdale. I go down there. I've got one who I just did a model home down in Naperville.
Okay,
I'll do that for her, and I'll do friends down in Naperville. But for me, it's about the drive time. I used to do downtown. I don't do downtown as much anymore because it's 4 hours of drive time for me, and I don't get that money back.
You got to drive faster.
I drove pretty fast getting here, but, you know, that's still, you know, today it was only, what, an hour and a half to get here, but
it's dead time.
That's 3 hours. Yeah. And it's dead, and I only basically get an hour back.
Got it.
So
if our listeners want to, if they're a designer, right? Do you do any art sales or art trading, or you just...
No, I strictly hang stuff and consult on where they want to put it up or how they want to do it. Work with a lot of designers, and usually with the nice thing about the designers is I'll work with them once or twice, and then they don't have to come anymore. They just say, go over to so-and-so's house.
And they trust you.
They trust me. I understand how they like things hung or where they want things hung, and they don't have to spend 6 hours watching me hang pictures to
make sure it's right.
Yeah, to make sure it's right.
Because they trust your eye.
Correct.
Well, if our listeners want to reach out to you, how do they reach out to you?
847-209-7043.
Or is there a website?
I do not have a website. I've got a Facebook J. Thompson Installations page.
That's old school, Steve. We don't need no stinking website. That technology thing's a fad. Your phone number one more time?
847-209-7043.
You're going to be here for the rest of the show. If our listeners have any question, and we're going to have you chime back in with different projects that you're working on. 312-981-7200. I've got some questions for the entire panel, so brace for impact. 312-981-7200 is a MegaPro's call. Text and photo line. This is Home Sweet Home Chicago at 720 WGM.
Home Sweet Home Chicago.
Roy Spencer, Mr. Permaseal.
You know, as far as your product, what's the process with that?
We have our Permaseal way of doing things, but it starts with crack, the entire crack, the most common crack, structural crack, excavate the crack, seed the crack. But that's just crack repair, and there may be a crack there may be not.
I'm also thinking about being a crack dealer. We're not like a mean crack dealer, but, you know, like a nice one. It's kind of friendly, like, hey, what's up, guys?
Crack talk with Mr. Permaseal.
Now, here's David Hochberg and Home Sweet Home Chicago.
Tell you what, the experts on the show, when they get into something, Roy was talking about crack, obviously cracks, and he literally said crack 15 times in a 10-minute period, and he didn't have any idea he said crack so many times. And I'm just looking at our guy, Ben, our producer, and he gave me the nod, like, we know we're thinking. I'm like, you're getting this, right? You're going to make an intro out of this. He's like, oh, yeah, he's chiming in my ear. Don't worry about it. I'm counting the cracks. So we got that's a Hall of Famer right there. 312-981-7200. Before I throw it over to the panel, I just want to take this time to promote what we're doing next Saturday. We are having a Vestathon. We have teamed up with Alderman Matt O'Shea of the 19th Ward and the Chicago Police Memorial Foundation. We're going to be bringing awareness to and raising funds for the Chicago Police Memorial Foundation to purchase 400 replacement bulletproof vests. We are having all the next show is dedicated to that. The Alderman will be in here. We have the bagpipes from the Emerald Society who will be in Studio B, which is next door, taking us in and out of breaks. We will have four of the police officers who survived gunshot wounds, gunshots by their bulletproof vests, but saved their lives on the show. We've got athletes, Chicago athletes, active and retired calling in. We have announcers calling in. It's going to be a huge show next weekend. And you want more information, you could go to WGNVest, WGNVEST.com to learn more information. If you're a corporation and want to sponsor the show and get your name out there, I will tell you from firsthand knowledge, the Chicago Police Department, the Chicago Police family, Chicago firefighter family, all first responders, the family is the most loyal group of pack of individuals out there. You take care of them, they will take care of you, meaning that if you sponsor this event, we have a website with everybody's names going on there. They will know who made donations, and they will reciprocate. I've done loans for them for over 20 years. They are unbelievably loyal. They appreciate when you take care of them, and they will take care of you. Just a little thought. Go to WGN Vest or CPD Vest, Chicago Police Department Vest, VEST.com. It goes to the same place. We have a website set up. You can make a donation, learn more about it. But next weekend for 3 hours, it's going to be an extravaganza. 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. Go to WGNDavid.com. The city of Chicago condo market in the city of Chicago because of all the civil unrest over the past 18 months. What have you seen in terms of the value of those condos that 18 months ago, in the when things were rocking, when the pandemic started and everything, it was a jackrabbit. It just took off. But then the civil unrest happened. What are you seeing in the city of Chicago? You sell a ton of condos. You know, you know your office is here. You lived here. What do you moved out of here?
I'm commuting in every day. Right. Yeah. I'm still working here every day. I just, you know, and I personally didn't move because of civil unrest. I moved because I have a daughter that's going into high school.
Right.
And if next year, you know, in this fall, and it was
Avery.
Yeah. Avery starting high school, if you can believe it. I think I have pictures with you and her at 3 years old.
Yeah.
Three or four.
So look fantastic, by the way. Next to her beautifully cute 3 year old daughter. No, I look terrible, and her daughter's beautiful still. So horrible. Age does that to you, Frank. What are you looking at me like that for?
You know,
so it's the schools.
So, yeah, for me, it was a school choice. But, you know, this at the end of the day, what I'm seeing, for the most part, most of the buildings, and, you know, I have, when we say the city in general, it's hard for me to say everything, and you know, in one pot, what's going
Roosevelt,
on.
Roosevelt to Irving, out to Halsted. Or,
What I want to tell you is, you know, each building is kind of like its own city. Each building has different values, right? And what I'm seeing, for the most part, most of them are holding on very strong. I have had a few listings in a few specific locations that haven't held as strong. But for the most part, most of my listings are doing very well. There was a time when COVID had first, you know, when COVID
full
had,
frontal,
yeah, full
when, March of 2000.
When it first hit, let's just say, there was a time where. In a specific area where I lived in the South Loop, we had a lot of inventory, and everything kind of came to a standstill for a little bit. Then things, you know, there was more inventory. I'll just give you an example for townhomes. I think it was one point that we had more townhomes in the area for sale at once, and they weren't moving. Nothing was moving.
Because everybody was moving to the burbs.
Than I had ever seen.
Yeah.
And now it's all gone.
Really?
Yeah. We have like two on the market, and they won't last more than 30 days.
Wow.
So we had, you know, some highs, some lows. We had one at one point, it was just a complete standstill. I mean, that's just an example. Now, what was happening there, completely different than maybe up in, you know, over on Irving.
Yeah.
Completely different.
Frank?
The inventory concern that you just brought up, there's not a lot of real estate out there. That's not just a Chicago thing, though, right? This is happening across the whole country.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah. And especially, I mean, in the suburbs, the inventory is so low.
Yeah.
It's so low. One of my good friends is one of the top brokers in North Shore, and I just talked to him the other day, and he's like, it's so low. There's barely anything.
Amy Kite said it's lower now than it was at its lowest point last year. It's like 1.2 months. It's crazy. There's nothing. You have a home to sell. That's why I keep stressing. Sell your home now. Because rates are going up.
Yeah,
it went from 2.5 to close to 4 today. Rates are up a full point and a half, and you could still have less than a month and a half worth of inventory. What are you waiting for?
And I have a client. I'll give you another example. It's not North Shore. It's Orland Park. I have a client who had their home on the market over a year ago. It didn't sell. And also, you know, when I looked at all their marketing, I didn't like the way the agent had everything, you know, the language, the way he worded it, made it sound like it was a distress sale. It wasn't a distress sale. It's a beautiful custom 3-year-old home. It's gorgeous.
What was that agent's name? Throw him under the bus.
No. Okay. No.
I thought I'd try. Almost.
But in this listing, though, we talked about what we're going to do to prep it to get it on the market. And I said, listen, the inventory is so low. I went through what else was available. I showed them every house that's on the market, how theirs compares. I said, why don't we try throwing it in the private network for a few weeks before we spend $7,000 on staging, before we paint everything? Let's just do a little touch up. Let me put it in there. Let's give it a little test. I had it sold in a week and a half.
Boom.
There's nothing on the market. I told them, you're going to sell. They said, are you sure? Because when someone sat on the market before for a while and it didn't go.
Well, here, and the other thing, well, where am I going to move? Figure it out.
Yeah.
The number one thing to buy a new house is get rid of your old house.
Go rent something. I'll find you something to rent for 6 months. It's not, you know, it might be a little inconvenient.
Right.
But how nice is it to know that the house is sold, know that it's closed, have all your money in your account, be able
it's
to
great feeling.
Go through the loan process without a contingency.
100%. Have your stuff in a storage container. All right, we got to take a quick break here, top of the hour. Phone number for listeners want to reach you.
312-909-1329.
This is Home Sweet Home Chicago on 720 WGN, 312-981-7200. MegaPro's call, text, and phone line. Coming back, I got questions for Jay, I've got questions for Frank, and questions for Steve.
Oh, good.
312-981-7200, MegaPro's call, text, and photo line, 312-981-7200. You have done a ton of our listeners. You know, you just started advertising on WGN the end of last year.
Yeah, October.
October. And the number of inquiries that, you've received from WGN listeners just off the charts. And my question to you is, for the listeners out there who are mobility challenged, right, and they need a bathroom done. Because everybody, you got to use a bathroom, right? You got to go, you got to shower, you got to clean, you got to wash. What is the average investment to completely, and I know there are different levels of mobility challenges out there, but if somebody's in a wheelchair, right, and can't function under their own power, like my mom was in a wheelchair because she had MS, right? No shot, couldn't walk. And if she got out of her wheelchair, she'd go right down, right? No power in her legs. MS is horrible. It sucks. It's a terrible disease. If you have somebody like that, what is the cost? Widening doors, okay? I lived this like pretty much my entire life. Widening doors, getting in. What is a total rebuild of a bathroom for somebody that's wheelchair bound?
It really depends on the bathroom. And I know that's not what you wanted to hear, but...
Wrong answer. Start off.
I know, right?
Okay, go ahead.
But you have somebody that's in a wheelchair. So what size is that wheelchair? Is it 28 inches wide? Is it 24 inches wide? Is it 30 inches wide? Is it? And are we looking to get them on the toilet? Are we looking to get them in the shower?
Yeah.
Are we just looking to get them into the bathroom and they have an ability to transfer? There's enough space to transfer. One of the biggest challenges that we run across is... We run across a lot of 5x8 bathrooms, and you already have a sink packed in there. You have a toilet packed in there. You have a bathtub and shower packed in there. And
not a lot of room.
There's not a lot of room for two people who are able-bodied to be in there at the same time, much less to have somebody who is in a wheelchair. You have to get the wheelchair in there and a caregiver to help them transfer. So sometimes it's a matter of, you know, sacrificing some of that sink space, going to something smaller, moving a toilet over, obviously getting rid of the tub, and then that way you can roll right, you know, straight through the door and right into the shower. So it really depends. We've done bathroom modifications for some people, and we've been able to get it way under $2,000. And then there's other ones where we have to blow out a wall and take part of a bedroom, and you're $25,000-$30,000 to do it.
Wow.
You know, so it really all depends on what that particular person's needs are. And, you know, what, and then again, what we have to work with and the general condition of what we're working with.
Steve, is any of that tax deductible, a modification for your home or anything like, is anything can be done to write any of this off or no?
I'm going to answer it. It depends.
It depends.
Yes.
I have great tax preparers working for me. I am not a tax preparer, so I want to just put that out there.
Yeah, you have to prove medical necessity.
Medical necessity.
Yeah, and then sometimes that's very hard to prove with the home modification. So you have to have somebody good, somebody like a Steve Lay, that can help you navigate that process and what exactly you can write off.
And what other inquiries are you getting from WG? Have you been... receiving since last October. I know the great stories that we have spoken about on the air where Gary Rabine donated, Rabine Paving donated, his wife passed away, he had a lift, and you were able to install it.
Yeah, that was actually a personal donation by Gary.
That was a personal donation.
Yeah, and what a great guy. So he donated two stair lifts, then we were able to turn around and help people get stair lifts, you know, next to no cost.
And then the lady who lost her husband on the south side, and you were able to take that lift and install it in our client's, our listener's home, and who happened to be a client because we refinanced them, in Park Ridge. So listen to this horrible story, Jay and Lauren, because Steve's already heard it, is they wanted to install the lift to get the wife. The gentleman who called had a wife. Hasn't been out of the home in what, two, three?
Two years.
Two years. And she wanted this lift. She needed this lift to get her out of the house in order to go to the son's wedding Then her sister passes away the week prior to the, or something, a month or two prior to the wedding. It was horrible. Yeah. I mean, it turned into, it was a great thing.
We got them the lift, and 2 days later, her sister died.
Her sister died.
She was able to at least go to the funeral. How? And then Red Lobster, because that was her
favorite thing to do. And she wanted to go to Red Lobster.
Because she hadn't been there in 2 years.
Right. Steve goes every Friday, not to rub it in that lady's face in Park Ridge, because he's loaded. You're listening to Home Sweet Home Chicago, 312-981, and he loves the biscuits. I hear about the biscuits. Oh, I went to Red Lobster last night. You know, it's usually Saturday. The biscuits are delicious. 312-981-7200. We want to hear about 17482 on that hike. What's the code again?
It's section 179.
All right, that was close. It had a 1 and a 7 in there.
IRC.
179 IRC, Internal Revenue Code. How's that, right?
That's what IRC
says. I got a future as a... Listen, watch your six, buddy. I'm coming after you. 312-981-7200. We got a text message here, Jay, about hanging a 125-pound picture. That's a pretty freaking heavy picture. 312-981-7200. This is Home Sweet Home Chicago on AM 720 WGN.
Home Sweet Home Chicago.
A texter pointed out I did make a mistake.
Pardon me, Mr. Perfect.
Mark this, the first mistake I've made.
What did you do?
It's not free credit report. It's annual credit report.
Big mistake.
So you go to annualcreditreport.com.
Thank you for the correction, because that other one probably takes you to a porn site or something.
I would say be careful how you type it, because it would take you to a very unique set of sites. And then you start getting pop-up messages. Not that I know anything about that.
Now, here's David Hochberg and Home Sweet Home Chicago.
312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. 847 has corrected my use of the mastery of the English language. It's wheelchair user, not wheelchair bound. So it's duly noted. I apologize. 847, Hackberg, those Red Lobster biscuits, not on your soda weight loss plan.
It's true.
I'm not saying I had them. I'm saying I got to hear how delicious they are from Leahy, because he still has the crumbs on the side of his face when he gets into my car, because he's got the goatee. What is that, what that thing's called?
I believe so.
A goatee, yeah.
I mean, I'm not much of a fashion guy.
We know. 312-981-7200. You're the tax man. So 179 IRC, what's going on with that?
Oh, that is about... I was listening to your show. I don't know if you know that.
Thank you for listening.
To your show, but I do listen to your show.
One of five people. That's very nice of you.
And you had our friend Tracy Kahn from Joe Cotton Ford. And he was talking about the deduction for 6,000-pound vehicles.
Yes.
Yeah, but I wanted to remind people that it's not only for vehicles, right? You could buy other equipment for your business, and there's this, it's a section 179 of the IRS code.
Is it still there if it's over 6,000 pounds? Because that came out like 5-6 years ago, right? Something like that. My CPA is like, if you need a new car, buy a heavy car. I'm like, what the hell does that mean?
Well, that's the 6,000-pound car,
right?
Because then it's a business car, right? Because otherwise it could be a passenger. But this section of the code is for writing off equipment where it used to be depreciation. So if I bought a piece of equipment for $100,000, I'd have to take it over a series of years and take that deduction over a series of years. This section allows small business owners to take all of that fee the same 1 year instead of stretching it out.
So it's okay.
Yes.
What's the advantage to doing that?
Well, you get the big deduction right away, right? The time value of money in itself is worth something, right? So instead of me having to wait over 5 years to take that deduction, I get it all this year. So that's huge, and it helps me fund the purchase of it.
So take Lauren, a realtor, or Jay, a art hanger, right? What things could they buy that's 6,000 pounds?
Now, Tracy would be talking about that would be a vehicle, right? Because they're using vehicles. But I don't know if a realtor needs a 6,000 pound
Lauren
vehicle.
Needs an 8,000.
What is it, a Tahoe?
It would be, I think an Expedition is,
an F-250, something like that.
Yeah, so that fits in.
I could see you in an F-250, schlepping around your clients.
Sure.
Easy to park in the city.
As long as I had a driver.
No problem.
I have a driver for that. That'd be great.
But anyway, this is this section, and that's why really what I want to talk about is planning, tax planning.
Okay.
Because this is part of the tax planning and having the right tax people available to answer your questions. Too many people wait, they get their taxes done, and all they do is they hand them over the paperwork, and then they get a tax return done, and nobody ever gives them any advice about what they should be doing, how you should be setting up your business, for example, to take advantage of the tax, because there's lots of tax advantages out there. If you don't know about them, then you won't take advantage of them. And so you have to know, you have to be working with someone who understands that there are ways to do this. We call this tax avoidance, not tax evasion. Right? Tax evasion is a crime, but you can avoid taxes. That's totally legal.
Using every tool in your tool shed to reduce the amount of money you have to pay.
And
taxes.
We all know that the tax code is very complicated, right? So there's things in there that might help you. You'll never find them if you try to do it yourself.
Is donating to a 501c3 organization like the Chicago Police Memorial Foundation for the Vest-a-thon next weekend, is that a tax deductible entity?
I knew that you know the answer to that when you asked me that question. The answer is yes.
Okay,
it is tax deductible, and you should donate.
Donate to CPD.
For very good cause.
That's Vest or WGNVest.com. 312-981-720. We got a text message here for you, Jay. 125-pound piece of artwork, no stud. Studs not center. How do I hang it? So do you need centered studs to hang heavy artwork or heavy pictures?
No, not at all. But I would have to see the piece to know what to use. You talked about the mirror that I hung for you. At least we did. Maybe it was off air, but you know, we used a cleat for that. So
what's a cleat?
A cleat is a bar that goes across the back of the wall. And there's a similar bar on the back of the mirror, and we just drop it onto there. And I don't need studs to hang that cleat, but if I get them, then boy, it's bonus. But no, we're worried about getting it centered and getting it where they want to go.
My wife purchased a 40 to 48 inch wide and like a square mirror.
Right.
Who the hell knows what she purchased? Right. I get home, there's a gigantic box. I'm like, what the hell is that? Oh, don't worry about it. That's what I get. Don't worry about it. It'll look good. Right? You pull that on your husband?
All the time.
All the time. Yeah, I'm like, what the hell is this box?
I like when we ask how much it costs.
I don't even ask anymore.
Yeah. What did it cost? I go, why?
Doesn't matter.
Do you want me to take it back?
Right.
You
want to get me upset?
Right.
Is that what you want?
What does it matter?
I never ask.
It's great.
I just ask what it is.
I wish you wouldn't ask.
I stay off the third rail of how much it costs because it doesn't matter. It's not going back, right? So it's in my house. It's there for good. I just want to know what's behind curtain number three.
My wife is listening, so I trust her.
Oh, God.
Oh, boy.
That's not what you said on the way down. I heard 38 minutes of what, you know, I'll leave that alone, Teresa.
I just know she's listening. So.
Okay, well, that's nice. I appreciate that she listens. She wants to make sure you're actually down here and not at the bar smoking and drinking and gambling. So
that's after the show.
I know. That's on the way home. So, and it doesn't take 3 hours to get home, Teresa. Don't worry about it. So you don't need. So how do you hang something that heavy if you don't have studs? If you're not anchoring into the studs, I mean, because that's a heavy piece. I understand you got the bar; it's like a male female bar,
right.
Okay. But I would be nervous. That's why I don't do it. Right, to put something that heavy up on the wall without going into a stud.
Well, again, I would have to see the piece, but I'm sure that a piece that's that heavy is probably wide enough that you're going to hit a stud at some point. You don't necessarily need a cleat. I have other ways to get it on the wall and get into those studs to have it hold it up. You don't hang anything that heavy on a wire. So if there's a wire on there, cut it off and call me.
Got it.
But there's a bunch of different ways. I just have to see the piece.
So do you put the cleat on the back of the whatever you're hanging up as well? That goes so you got a cleat coming out of the wall, which is a male or a female,
right?
And then you got the male or female on the back of the picture.
Correct.
That it
Correct.
It hooks into.
Yeah,
right?
I can put them on there, but in your case, the manufacturer did it.
Oh, look at that. We probably paid extra for that too.
No, that's just part of the thing.
I'm sure we paid extra. Just go with it. Frank?
So, Jay, if somebody wanted to, like you said, you had to see the piece. Could they email you or text you, you know, a picture of what it is, and you can kind of give them a rough estimate over the phone?
If they call me up, I'll have a chat with them and find out what kind of piece it is, and then they can email me a picture of it, and I'll either talk them through it. If they want to do it themselves, then God bless them. If they don't feel comfortable, then you call me, and I come down there and do it.
Let me tell you one thing. I've been in the house 11 months. Now, was there one thing on the wall?
No. And there's, like you said, there's 500 pieces on the floor around the house.
We collect a lot of art. I don't even know what it is. It's a lot of our kids' stuff. You know, like third grade, you know, you run over to Michael's, you throw it in a frame. Here's the artwork from the third grade art class. Great. I mean, I've got a whole wing of my house for that. Don't ask, Frank. Stop giving me that look. 3129, as if you know what's going on in your house. You're looking at me like, how don't you know what's going on in my house? I just pay for it, Frank. I show up, I eat, I take the dog out, we get the dog's hip replacement. I don't even know how much that costs. I was told we have insurance for it. I don't even know if we have insurance for it. I got a dog, right? Listen, if you want to come back as reincarnated as a dog, come back as Elise Hochberg's dog, okay? Gets better treatment than me. I got a dog with a brand new hip sleeping on the bottom of my house right now. Got the whole first level taken over. A dog, a golden retriever, right? I got to lift the dog up to go, right? Forget about it. 312-981-7200. Steve, before the break, can you repeat again about the equipment? We have a texter that wants to know about the 6,000-pound equipment. Can you do it in 30 seconds?
Again, 6,000 pounds goes to cars. The equipment you buy for your business is also falls under that section.
Computers?
Heavy computer.
It may.
Okay.
So it's equipment, and sometimes computers can be equipment. Sure. And again, if I bought a $100,000 piece of equipment, and now I could take it off my taxes. That's $24,000, or 24% of that would be deductible.
Frank's looking for computers from 1956 that weigh over 6,000 pounds because he wants to.
Again, the car. It's only about cars that are 6,000 pounds.
So it's any equipment that you need for your business.
For any equipment over 6,000?
Yes. It doesn't have to be over 6,000 pounds.
Exactly.
Oh, there you go.
A car has to be over
6,000 pounds. I understood him, David.
I didn't understand him. That's what I'm trying to get clarification. Steve, is interest on student loans tax deductible, yes or no?
Yes.
Interest on student loans are tax deductible?
Oh, the interest on student loans is not tax deductible.
Okay.
And it's all, but it is now what the IRS has changed it to be a reasonable expense.
Really?
When you're trying to figure out what you're going to pay the IRS.
So does that mean?
It used to not be.
So does that mean it is it can be taken into consideration for what you owe them on back taxes?
Yes.
Oh, that's new.
Yes.
Well, because we'll talk about that coming out of the break. What a joke that is.
Yes.
And how it's suffocating buyers of real estate because what do you roll in your eyes?
I just read a great story. I was thinking about Ray Kaplan because it was a bankruptcy case where they just allowed a guy to
I saw that. Let's talk about that and how it's impacting buyers. 312-981-7200. It is the number one thing that we see on credit reports is student loan debts that is suffocating our listeners and prohibiting them from not only refinancing, but also buying a home. It's disgusting. It's ridiculous. And we'll talk about more about that after the break. 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. It's MegaPro's call, text, and photo line. This is Home Sweet Home Chicago on 720 WGM.
Now back to David Hochberg and Home Sweet Home Chicago.
312-981-7200. You have your paralegal at home?
I do.
Looking up law,
I
law
do.
Facts?
I have two sons at home who are legal, are in law school. So
oh, God, that I must got, be freaking
So he has corrected me.
Blast.
You can take tax deductions for interest paid on student loans that you took out for yourself, your spouse, or your dependent. This benefit applies to all loans, not just federal loans, used to pay for higher education expenses. The maximum deduction is $2,500 a year.
Is that the older one or the younger son?
That was Jake.
Is that the one you like, or you like the other one better?
It's up in the air.
It depends on the day.
Yeah.
So, see...
If I'm with one, I always tell him, you're my favorite, don't tell the other
one. So, he's his wife, sweet, forget about it. Like, how the hell he landed this lady? She's got a lot of patience. I
question that every day.
She's very sweet. She's very patient. And then she's got three attorneys. Can you imagine...
No.
That conversation, I would put my head through a wall. Having him married to him, my head would be in the wall at the beginning of every day. But then having two sons who are attorney, could you imagine that conversation? Well, section 2 of that statute there, Johnny.
That's what we call fun.
Oh, yeah. Bad definition of fun. 312-981-7200. 847, the picture that you texted in that you wanted me to send to Eric Rung. Rungi over at WGN News. I have sent that over to him, so he will be in receipt of that. Student loans, Lauren, let's talk about that, how it impacts your daily, everyday life. You were telling a story about a building that you were asked from a builder to help lease out, and it was predominantly a lot of one bedrooms and studios. Explain what went down, how the market's adjusting accordingly.
Yeah, just what I've seen in general leasing a building. I know I typically do primarily sales, but this was one client of mine that hired me to do a lease up on an entire building. It's 199 units. It's fully leased. We only have a few units available. And the majority of it is studios, one bedrooms, and convertible units. Convertible, it means it's kind of between a studio and a one bedroom. It's semi-open, half wall. So you're getting a lot of, younger students, or getting people that maybe are residents, just people that just started their first job, things like that. And so I would see all of these credit reports come through, and a lot of them have a lot of student loan debt.
$60,000 to $200,000 worth of student loan debt.
Absolutely. And what I would see is their credit score can be very low, because they have a lot of student loan debt that they aren't paying because they're maybe refinancing it.
They're on deferment.
Yeah, they're on deferment. And it was just whacking their credit, where they'd have a car payment sometimes, in their names that are as paying on time, a cell phone bill, a couple utilities in the past. They'd have other really good credit, but it was those student loans that were really dragging them down, dragging down their score. So I'm sure by the time they call you at some point to get pre-approved,
you know,
5 years later,
yep,
6 years later, to go buy a home, I mean, I'm sure it's hard for you to get that cleaned up.
Here's the difference. The owner of the building, or the investment group of the building, here's the difference. Looked past it. Looked past, because it's their property, and they were extending a lease to a prospective renter, right? This isn't Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac that has hard, fast rules. If you're a 650 credit score because of all your debt, we're going to look past the student loan debt. No, you're a 650. That's not good when you're trying to get financing.
Right. A whole different ballpark.
It could disqualify you from buying a home.
It could be a big reason why a lot of those renters are continuing to rent, because they maybe can't get that cleaned up. I don't know.
They can't get that cleaned up, or the minimum monthly payment that goes along with that $60,000 to $200,000 worth of debt knocks them out of buying a home. For the qualifier, sure, condo.
Or their condo, their first place.
Their first place, right?
And to be clear, it's not that these people are not paying on their student loans. It's just their debt-to-income ratio is that?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So we have to take a percent or half a percent, depending upon if it's Fannie or Freddie, or the actual payment. Okay? So the challenge that you have is that these costs of colleges and the funding that they give these kids, again, anybody in this room comes to me for a loan, or any mortgage professional for a loan, we have to run your credit, we have to find your income, and you'll be extended financing on a home based upon your ability to repay. That is the number one factor. Do you have the ability to repay that loan? Okay? Your 18-year-old wants to go to college. No problem, right? Here's $50,000 a year to go to college into a field that we don't know if that's what you're going to be, because you're 18 and you think you're going to be an engineer, and then you pivot and you're going to be an economist, or you pivot and you're going to be a journalist, right? And then now you're stuck with $200,000 to $250,000 worth of student loan debt, and you're making $45,000 a year living in your parents' basement. How's that 200? And people are like, oh, it's not that expensive. Sit next to me and look at credit reports like I look at credit reports every single day. And you will see between $50,000 to $250,000 to $300,000 worth of student loan debt.
And the average college kid is not graduating in 4 years. They're doing it in 5 to 6, so without a master's degree. So you're paying for 6 years. That's 6 years at $50,000 a year.
And you're living in your parents' basement, or you're trying to go...
They're buying a house before they're working.
Right. But we're giving this 18-year-old all of this money with no ability to repay. It is so backwards. It's screwed up. And it's not right, because, you want the economy to pick up? What's the number one saddlebag on the economies right now? We it's all the student loan debt. That's why they keep saying, well, let's eliminate the student loan debt. I'm against that. I think that's not right for all the people that paid on the student loans for all those years. How about this? Why don't you go back to those colleges and say, hey, how come it shot up 200-300% in the past 10 years, right? How about taking some of that $1 billion endowment money and pumping it back in to keep, the tuitions lower? But it's impacting the hey, I'll tell you what, it's impacting borrowers' ability to install lifts for their parents. Okay, it's impacting the entire.
It's the entire economy.
The entire economy.
Yes.
I don't understand it.
And sometimes they're not paying them. Like you said, made a comment that it's not that they're not. Sometimes they are. Sometimes they're not, because sometimes they stop paying them in order to refinance them.
Right.
Consolidate.
Some just blow it off.
Yeah, some blow it off, but some are trying to consolidate multiple student loans into one, and they stop paying them during that time. And it's just whacking their credit.
Steve, quick.
What's the first thing you should do when you have a student loan problem?
Call Ray Kaplan.
Call Ray Kaplan.
Exactly.
Right. She's an assassin.
I sent two people to her this week. I mean, because when I deal with people with financial problems, and we start talking about their financial problems, they say, well, you know, I got this student loan. I was like, call Ray Kaplan.
We have a student loan assassin that helps our listeners.
What does she do?
She consolidates. I'm getting all excited. I can't even talk. She consolidates. She's like you on the real estate side. She does that with student loans. Like, you're a killer. Amy Kite's a killer. Ray Kaplan will take your liver out, put it in oil, fry it up with onions, serve it back to you. You won't even know you have a liver gone, and you won't even notice a scar. Frank, quick.
But it's more than just going after student loans that you currently have. She can help you plan before you go to college.
Yes, absolutely. Before you go to college. And plus, think of the summer.
Nice. So you don't end up in this way. Yeah.
$100 million of student loan debt that's not being paid on, that's in default right now. That is tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of listeners out there, consumers, that have that debt that are getting crushed on their credit scores because they can't afford or they completely blew off that student loan. Has that $50,000 worth of student loan debt. They dropped out of college. They're like, why am I going to pay on this? It's ridiculous. We're going to take a quick break. Home Sweet Home Chicago, AM 720, WGN.
Home Sweet Home Chicago.
Now you got the hottest market under the sun, and now you're not ready to move.
I'm like, do you have food in your mouth?
Yeah.
How the heck? That's actually impossible. But I'm looking at the side of your face, and you're like a chipmunk. I'm like, how is he talking he's got a mouthful, faceful, I might
professional,
add, of food?
I'm a part-time professional broadcaster. But I got three pitas in my mouth underneath my tongue like chew, and you can't tell the difference
until you
said it.
Right. It's like you're a ventriloquist.
It's not impacting my speech at all, and I'm enjoying the taste of the pita as I'm talking to you while you're trying to rip me on the radio.
That's
and it's
weird.
Not working.
Let's call John Williams and see if he ever eats a sandwich.
John Williams got better things to do than to listen to the show.
Now back to David Hochberg and Home Sweet Home Chicago.
312-981-7200, the 312 texter with the crack in the Corian. I sent your picture to Joe and Jeremy at Megapros. 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. Here's a comment from 219. I blame the parents that have not taught their children to manage money. Loans that can't be paid. Heck, a teen hired at local store had to be shown how to sweep as they've never been taught how to sweep. So there. Listen, we all have our different things there. 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. Go to WGNDavid.com. Frank, the lifts in and out of bathtubs, is that still popular, or are you just taking the bathtub out altogether?
For the most part, we take the bathtub out altogether and either put in a low curb or no curb whatsoever. Unfortunately, the bathtub, no matter what, becomes a trip hazard, and you don't ever want anybody to fall, but especially in a bathroom, because there's way too many things to hit your head on.
Resale value, I mean, again, you're in and out of houses all the time. You see mobility challenged individuals trying to sell their home, all different ages. It's not just, you know, experienced homeowners that are in their 50s, 60s, 70s. Somebody could have gotten into a car accident, a motorcycle accident. You know, they could have some type of degenerative disease that they can't move. How much of a drawback is seeing equipment that Frank installs in homes all throughout the Chicagoland area in buying or selling a home?
I mean, I guess it just depends on if it could be a good thing. It could be something that a buyer's looking for, too. You never know, because it can be harder to find if something's totally ready to move into. I don't come across it, you know, all the time, but I have seen. I just had a single-family home in Lincoln Park that I sold, and my client's mother needed to get downstairs because she lived downstairs. So he had a wheelchair lift installed all along the wall, down is screwed into the hardwood floors. And it turned out it didn't affect showings or anything whatsoever. And the buyers that came along that saw the home that wanted to buy it They said they didn't need it. We had offered it could stay. It can go. We removed it. We patched everything, painted it, made it.
As if it was never there.
As if it was never there. So it wasn't an issue.
All right. 312-981-7200. Do you come across that a lot where our listeners are calling you in that situation where Lauren is selling a home and the buyer is, it's not impacting, negatively impacting the sale, you know, because then some buyers are major rear end, paying the rear end. I want to see it without the, you know, lift. I want the whole feeling. But you know, they see it. Do you get calls to remove it?
Yeah, we do. And if it is a, you know, call it a universal design lift, then we will remove that lift and then we'll save it, recondition it, and help somebody get one at a lower cost.
Three, and then those when they move into their new home.
Correct.
Right? Because obviously if they're moving,
yeah, sometimes we package them up and relocate them.
Can you retrofit them to the new home, or is every lift different?
It depends on the lift, and it depends on the homes.
Okay.
So we will do a free assessment on both places for you and the lift that you currently have to see if we can do that.
312-981-7200, 312-981-7200, 630 for you, Jay. Do you get, hold on, I'm trying to decipher this. Do you charge by the hour, or do you charge by the job? There you go.
By the hour.
By the hour.
By the hour, yeah.
Is it a flat fee, or does it depend upon the type of artwork or whatever? Like you installed a my daughter Natalie at her bat mitzvah had a sign made up with her name Natalie with light bulbs in it, right?
Right. Right.
I forgot where we got. I'm like, where'd we get that? And my wife looks at me and goes, really? I'm like, okay, here we go. Right? Just that's why I don't even ask. Okay? I walked right into that one, right? I'm just like, really? We had a light with her name on it? And she's like, really? Were you not at the bat mitzvah? I started getting the Jewish guilt. I'm just asking a question, right? And you positioned it perfectly, and it was done. So it doesn't matter. It's a flat fee per hour, no matter what's being hung.
Yeah, it's per hour, and the only time there's any extra fee is if I go downtown, or if I go to Hinsdale, or I go to
travel
neighbor. Yeah, but if it's within like anything I do in the North Shore, even though it takes me an hour or hour and a half sometimes to get there, I start as soon as I get there. I don't charge anything.
If listeners provide snacks, is there a discount?
No, because I usually don't take them.
Okay,
because I'll want to take a nap.
You see, Steve? See,
I understand.
Steve's like, no. But I'll eat them, and I won't charge you. I won't charge you to having you hear me eat them. 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. Go to WGNDavid.com. So I want to go back to my attorney, Steve, who almost lost his condo. How common is that, where the IRS throws a tax lien on the condominium, right? They leaned it. Because the guy owed the IRS $120,000, right? How common is the IRS throwing liens on real estate?
That's the first thing that they do. First off, let's clear it up. You do not, a lien is not placed on real estate. It's placed on a person and everything that person owns and will own. So that's how encompassing a lien is. So everybody thinks that, you know, they put a lien on my house. No, they're leaning you and everything you own.
So if you try to sell that property for a profit, the first whatever profit comes off goes the IRS to knock that.
That's true. If you tried to sell the property even without a profit, you're going to have to deal with the IRS to prove that there's no profit, right?
Interesting.
Yeah, they have to list it. You're going to have to give them all the information for the closing statement, everything, where the money's going, how much is there. So I've helped people get a lien lifted where it's a short sale.
Yeah.
Yeah, we did that a lot back in the, you know,
back
years
in the day.
Ago, yes. When it was so many short sales, the person would have a lien against them personally, but the property would be liened. I'd work my butt off getting a short sale done. So we ended up, a lot of times the attorney would have to pull title first, see what liens we're dealing with.
And then address it.
And then address it, because once I know I have that buyer, this is getting approved, they'd have to go downtown,
get releases,
present it all to the IRS, or, you know, prove that they are not, that the seller is not walking with the profit. And they would typically only release it for, I don't know, a couple of weeks.
Well, what happens is they withdraw that lien on that property.
So they
so
get
you
dumped
still
it.
Have a lien on everything else you own, just that property.
All right, we got to take a quick break. This is Home Sweet Home Chicago, 312-981-7200. It's a MegaPro's call, text, and photo line. Like I said previously, this is Home Sweet Home Chicago on 720 WGN. 312-981-7200. That is WGN radio hotline, which we also call the MegaPro's call, text, and photo line. Thank you for all of the text messages today, all of the pictures that you're sending in, all the calls. David Schluter on the line, real estate attorney of the show. How are you, Mr. Schluter?
Good. I want to say hi to my dear friends, Steve and Lauren. And I just want to tell you, David, that this story has been just a heartache for me, but I'm going to go ahead and tell for all realtors that are listening and all mortgage people, Dave, it wasn't your loan, but it didn't matter because the tragedy that happened to my buyer had nothing to do with who the loan officer was. They were buying a condo, and I luckily have a great staff who protected their interest up to the day of closing. The clear to close still was not issued last Thursday for a Friday closing, and we were found out at Thursday at 4 o'clock that a person in the building that my client was buying from owned three units.
Uh-oh.
It was an 18-unit building. And the Fannie and Freddie guidelines said on 2 to 20 units,
10%.
If anybody owns more than two,
yep,
dead in the water, denied the loan, poor thing. The bottom line is, the logic behind it is, I want to spread the word on a nice, cold Saturday night, is it doesn't matter how good your credit is, the association is also relevant to that approval. So in this case, they were concerned that this guy who owned three was going to make a move. Lauren, you'll like this. Deconversion. He converted from a condo back to apartments, and they were concerned that all of a sudden that could happen, and it was a bad investment, and they denied the loan. So we had protected because we try as best we can. We're not perfect at the law office of Dave Schluter, but we tried to protect her. We did. The loan is denied, unfortunately, but I just want to let you know that when you guys are buying offers to properties, ask right up front, is there anybody in the building that owns more units than are normal? So that's what we got denied on, was the basis of having too many units owned by one person in that building.
That's Loan Officer 101, Lauren.
A good listing agent would find that out ahead of time, have it listed in the broker remarks, and know that if that is the case, then a buyer has to have X amount down.
Or you got
to
go portfolio lender, it doesn't
portfolio
matter.
Or has to be a cash buyer.
Right.
Right.
They just wasted everyone's time.
Right. You can't go Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac if one person owns more than 10% of the units in the building. I mean, that's Loan Officer 101. Just like you can't use somebody's tax returns commission if they became a commission salesperson in November and you only have November, December, January, and you get all the way down the line, and it's a week before closing, and the buyer is told that they don't qualify. The borrower should have been told they didn't qualify when they contacted the lender to get approved for a mortgage. And any lender in the right state of mind would say, you only are a commission salesperson for 3 months. You need at least 24 months of commission sales. So these little things will screw up a transaction.
They blow up deals. Yes. They waste buyers. So the poor buyer, did she have a place to live?
Yeah, so far she had not. And Lauren, you are right on. That is a bullseye question, which is, what if she told the landlord she was not going to need the place in February? You know what I'm saying?
Well, what about the seller?
Luckily she had a place to live. Yeah, the seller has started over and is remarketing, but it was a nuclear bomb. Luckily, we protect it because we do that at our office. We're not perfect, and we try our hardest. But it was a devastating blow. But again, anybody buying into a building, 2 to 20 units, if one person has more than two, you're not going to get approved.
It's not even that. It could be a 100-unit building. If they own more than 10 units,
correct.
You got the same challenge to overcome.
The normal seller doesn't know about these rules. The normal buyer doesn't know about these rules. So an experienced listing agent should have ordered ordered a 22.1 disclosure or called the association, whoever the president is, and asked these questions or asked the management company so that they have it all teed up to know what's going on in the association and what type of financing will qualify in this building. If you don't do that, they don't know what they're doing. You're just wasting everyone's time.
You can get financing in a building like that, listeners.
Right.
You're going to go, you need to go with a portfolio lender, not with Fannie, Freddie, right, or FHA or VA. They're right, not going to touch it.
Doesn't mean it can't be done. You just have to know
which way to go,
how it can be done, how to do it, and do you qualify for that type of a loan?
Correct.
Right?
And you better be ready to maybe pay a couple extra points in the interest rate because it's now a portfolio loan. It's a specialty loan. Somebody's looking at the borrower, not the building, and they're taking more of the risk in the borrower instead of the building. So having three units owned by one person doesn't scare the person unless you're buying one of the three, units and turning it into an owner occupied. So then,
right?
Unless you're buying it from somebody that owns three units, and then that after you close, that person will only still own two units, and then it fits a Fannie Freddie guideline.
It's different. Yeah, it's it changes everything.
In case anyone's wondering about the logic behind the rule, the logic is that that person may make a move to deconvert the building, and if they do, the lender's not going to make any money because the buyer is going to take that offer, and they are concerned about having some long-term income. The bottom line is, use Lauren, and then she'll check that out before she ever hits a computer. Amen, right?
Right. It's all about teeing it up for success and closing the deal, and you have to know what you're listing, what type of financing will qualify for this listing.
So you get to the end of the line, and you could close a dang-gone loan. And that's an official term in real estate, dang-gone loan. Okay? And yes, that is a special loan, Stephen A. Leahy, and we'll be talking about it on the drive home to Northbrook, so I get you out of my car. All right, Leahy.
David, for letting me call in on a cold Saturday. It was hot enough potato. I want to let them know the other brokers that are out showing these units this weekend. You've got to make sure your buyer can have an 850 score.
Doesn't matter.
We're also in the world of evaluating the credit worthiness of the association.
Phone number, Schluter, I got to hit a break. Go.
I know, 630-285-5300. Again, hi to Steve and Lauren, and everybody's great, and I also like the elevator guy.
And Frank and Jay, too. Don't leave them out. And thanks for your generous donation to the Vestathon. Sure, and thanks for your generous donation to the Vestathon. 312-981-7200. This is Home Sweet Home Chicago. You all right, Steve? Okay? We're going to have to disinfect that entire segment of the studio now. 312-981-7200. This is Home Sweet Home Chicago on 720 WGN.
Home Sweet Home Chicago.
Yeah, and we're going to send you a Mr. Floor cleaning product as well, okay?
Oh, wow. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
That's the first time somebody's been excited something about it. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, wow.
It's been a while. That's good. I'm glad Ruth is excited. She's all pumped up.
Now, here's David Hochberg and Home Sweet Home Chicago.
312-981-7200. Special shout out to Rich Dykstra's sister in Michigan. She also bought me, heard us talking about the jam on the air, and she went out and got me Amish jam. So thank you very much for that as well. 773, we tried selling my mom's condo in the south suburbs. Unfortunately, the president of the condo association decided to drop the ground flood insurance policy, and the condo's in a flood zone. Three deals fell through because the buyers couldn't find a lender without having the flood insurance policy. Really?
Not shocked.
That's a shock. A sarcastic response from David Hochberg.
And that's a shock.
And apparently, it's very expensive to get it on your own. How can an association decide to drop flood insurance, Lauren Hsu?
Oh, I mean, I'm not a part of your association, but it sounds like you have
an idiot running the association.
You have people in charge that don't know what they're doing. They probably thought, we don't need this. We've never had a flood. Why are we paying for this? Let's just get rid of it and save ourselves some money. What they didn't realize is that now no one can get financing when they go to sell their condo.
Correct.
So, I mean, have you called the association? Have you talked to the president? Have you told them we've gone through three buyers? No one can get financing. You're having this issue. And everyone else that goes to sell in the future will also have this issue. And they're also, you know, they should definitely be carrying the correct insurance because now it sounds to me like you can only get a cash buyer in order to sell your place, which is going to limit your buyer pool, and you might end up taking less money for your condo.
It's different if you own your own house and you want to drop flood insurance after you're in. If you're in a flood zone and getting a mortgage, the lender wants to see that you have flood insurance. Once you close the home, if you, in your own infinite wisdom, for whatever reason you have, want to cancel the flood insurance and pray to whatever God you pray to, or whatever piece of furniture you pray to, it doesn't matter. Pray that you don't have a flood. Great. Okay. The challenge you're going to have is that if you're escrowing, the lender at any time could send you a letter, say, please send me a copy of your insurance policy. And if you're in a flood zone and they know you're in a flood zone, they could do forced policy coverage on you. And that is typically a hell of a lot more expensive than if you buy it. 5 to 10 to 15 times higher than if you buy it. Why can they force it on you? Because they are securing the financing against that property that's sitting in a flood zone.
Correct.
And they want to make sure that you have flood insurance if it's in a flood zone and normal coverage, fire, water, sleet, damage, hurricane.
It's in the agreement.
It's in your mortgage docs, right?
Yeah. It's in the docs.
You agreed to carry this.
Yes. So you have to supply an insurance certificate, even if you're not escrowing, every single year, so the lender, the servicer knows that the end lender is protected. The end investor, I should say, is protected. Their asset is protected. It's that simple. It's really that simple. 312-981. And I feel sorry for the people, the listeners within this condominium association. It is a cost of owning a condo. You are in a fraternal or a sororital, if that's even a word. You know, it's a fraternity sorority. You're living with other people. You have to live within the rules. And you need insurance on the building. God forbid something goes wrong. And if the building happens to be in a flood zone, you need flood insurance. God forbid you have a flood.
Yeah, it's terrible. She should really reach out to the property management company, if there is one, if it's self-managed, to the president, see what their reasoning was behind it. Tell them all the problems and what you're running into to be able to sell your condo and see if you can get them to take out the correct insurance
you
so that you
can
sell it.
Right.
Yeah.
And if you get it yourself, it'll be less than if you had forced coverage on you. And forced coverage is, Steve, go ahead.
Expensive.
Thank you. I don't understand.
I've seen it so many times where people don't pay their homeowner's insurance.
Yeah, same thing.
Yeah, same thing. Your mortgage company goes out and buys it for you.
$1,000 annual coverage. You know they're buying it at $5,000. They don't care.
Yeah.
You know they're just going, okay, boom. Yeah. Here's a $5,000 bill, and now you got to send them an extra $430 a month. Yeah. Okay, that you don't have.
Yep.
Right. So come on. Wake up.
It sounds to me like the only way she can sell this right now is to a cash buyer until she gets this cleaned up or cleared up with the association and addressed. Otherwise, you might as well just take it off the market right now because you're just wasting your time and the next buyer's time. Because what lender would do that loan?
Hey, listen, if you're a cash buyer buying in this building and you're not checking to see if you have flood insurance, you're a knucklehead. Okay, I'm just telling you, you're out of your flipping mind. If you're a cash buyer going into a building like this and you're not pulling all the condo docs and condo assessment notices and the minutes for the last 2 years to find out what building is going on, that there's no special assessment or anything like that, and you're not checking to see if you got the proper coverage, then it's on you.
Right.
Okay?
I just mean that's the only type of buyer that could actually close.
Yeah.
Because there's not going to be any rules with that buyer.
A knucklehead cash buyer.
Right.
There's a whole other category, Frank, for that that Lauren loves working with. 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. How quick of a turnaround are you having for listeners that want to do some type of consultation? Is it a week? Is it a day? Is it 2 weeks? How far booked out are you getting into our listeners' homes to do evaluations?
Our team can usually get out there within a week. Within a lot of times it's next day. It all really depends on where they are and where our team is going on that given day. So if we have somebody heading down to, say, Peoria, and we get a call from Peoria, we'll send it to her or him right away, and we'll see him that day.
From the northern point of Illinois, which is basically outside our door here, okay, you know, Lake Point Towers right here, all the way down to Carbondale, the bottom tip of Illinois over by the Ohio River, you cover the entire state, all points in between.
And even further south than Carbondale. And
really?
All the way up to the Wisconsin border.
So you'll go into Kentucky?
Yes. We won't go into Kentucky, but we'll do...
You'll just leave
We'll
stuff.
Do like Metropolis, which is right on the right on the border.
So if somebody in Kentucky wanted something, you would just leave it in Metropolis and tell them to come over and get it.
I have some associates that work in... I'll refer them to somebody that works in Kentucky.
Steve, do you help individuals in Kentucky?
I do not. But I do help individuals in Tennessee.
You're licensed in Tennessee.
I am licensed in Tennessee.
312-981-7200. Truckers are a big segment of your business. Again, self-employed individuals.
The answer is not mine, but I know a lot of tax attorneys that is their bread and butter is truckers because they are self-employed and they have tax problems.
Give me an example of a listener that off the show here from the Chicagoland area, without naming names, without getting too specific, that you've helped in the past 30 days from the show.
You know, generally, the people I'm helping are realtors. I can't really small business people. Anybody owns their own business, right? That all their income is from their own business. These are the people I help. And then again, we help them not only when they're not paying their taxes. In the last week, I've had a realtor, a gentleman who is a self-employed guy, and I don't want to go into
what industry. What's the name of his company? What's his phone number?
But again, these are the people that we help, and they, you know, whenever you're in business for yourself, and I always tell this to my clients, they're usually very good at what they do. They're just not. I had a photographer this week too, very good photographer, just not good at the paperwork. You know, it's all that stuff that goes along with
all that other stuff. They're taking the pictures, setting up the lighting and the backdrop. Running, he's good at that.
Running your own business it's not just taking pictures.
It's all that paperwork, all that other stuff he or she couldn't handle that well.
Exactly.
He or she takes some great pictures, but it's the back end stuff like filing with the IRS and letting them know the money you make.
Yeah,
not so strong.
It's even the keeping records and you know, sending your invoices out on time and all of this stuff.
Got it.
You know, that's running
that's
a business.
That's no fun. That blows. That's boring. All right, we got to take a quick break. You're listening to Home Sweet Home Chicago, 312-981-7200 is the MicroPros call, text, and photo line. This is Home Sweet Home Chicago on 720 WGN.
Now back to David Hochberg and Home Sweet Home Chicago.
312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. I want to thank the caller that called in and want to speak to Dave Ennett, not Dave Hochberg. So it's a common occurrence, Frank. Dave and I get mixed up a lot.
I really don't know how that happens.
Two Hall of Fame broadcasters. You know, went to great colleges. He went to Northwestern.
Voices are so similar.
Yeah, we sound alike.
Your demeanors are so similar.
I live about 6 minutes from him, so maybe that's where it got mixed up. 312-981-7200. Go to WGNDavid.com. Frank, how fast we have a texter here would like to know how fast can you get a Lyft? Is there a lead time for a Lyft? Are you having supply chain issues on ordering Lyfts?
So
are they custom made? Do they come in a box and you alter it? What's the time frame on getting a Lyft?
All of our manufacturers are having issues getting material, the raw material in order to make their Lyfts. So we saw that coming and we did stock up. So we do have 4 months supply of stair lifts in our warehouse ready to go. So we can serve you pretty quick. And but if you need something custom, yes, at this time it's a little bit delayed.
How long?
It used to be 4 weeks to get a custom one made. Right now it's running about 10.
10 weeks to get a custom
to get a custom lift made.
And why the delay? Is there a shortage of steel? Is there a shortage of gears? I mean, what's going on?
It's more a shortage of steel, but really? for an elevator, the problem is actually in the same computer chip that the car manufacturers are having a hard time with is the same one that goes into elevators. So it's delaying those as well.
It completely blows my mind that the entire world is functioning at below capacity because we can't get flipping chips. I don't understand. I thought it was a joke when Tracy Kahn came in here from Joe Cotton Ford when it first broke. He was one of the first guys that came in and shared, hey, this is what's going on. There was a fire in some factory overseas, China, Taiwan, I don't know exactly where, and it wiped out capacity. I'm like, so what? I'm like thinking, all right, one factory's out, right? I mean, what? We only got three factories making chips in the world? I guess so. I mean,
it's a real big issue. And the other issue that we're seeing with some of our suppliers is they laid off so many people during COVID because they weren't being able to get the material and the demand was low.
Can't get them to come
and
back.
And now they're getting some of the material, but now they don't have the labor to produce. It's just a never-ending cycle.
This is so backwards. I don't understand. Listen, when I was going through college, JIT, just in time. Everything was just in time, right? Operations management was a big thing. We got to cut down supply. We got to, you know, everything's just in time. And I'm thinking, I don't know much about anything.
Actually, I think just in time worked really well until we shut down the economy.
Well, until we blow up a factory making chips, it kind of screws everything up, right? I mean, I was in steel mills and foundries. I used to be in the scrap business, right? I get to just in time. There's a week's worth of inventory there. I'm like, well, what happens if something goes wrong? Well, we kind of shut everything down. I go, does that make any sense? I mean, this is a guy with an 18 on his ACT three times, right? I graduated with a marketing degree. I go, that doesn't make any sense. I go, something goes wrong with the factory. Like in Dayton, Ohio, what do you do? Well, we, you know, we got to get it from other places, but aren't those other places shipping it to there? Yeah, but you know, don't worry about it. It's never
just
happened.
Just in time is great until it works. Until it doesn't work.
Until it doesn't work.
And you just said it. Everybody's attitude was,
yeah,
it hasn't happened. It hasn't happened in decades, and we're way too advanced now.
What's wrong with you?
And then here we did it to ourselves.
Here we go. Right. I'm like, we got one factory pumping out chips. I'm like, what the hell? What are we doing? Okay, and then we parallel park a tanker vessel and completely screw up the entire Suez Canal. When did that ever happen? Right? How'd you like to pay the bill on that one? 312-981-7200. Jay, who should hire you, buddy?
Everybody.
Oh, there you go. That's a simple answer. See, Steve, that's how it works. You see, get the attorney. Well, it depends.
Old people, young people, people don't have tools. People, these families who have, you know, three or four kids, they've got soccer, they've got everything. They don't have the time to do it.
Anybody like David Hochberg?
Well, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, and I always say that, you know, we've got four individuals in this room besides me, and I can't do what you do.
I could barely do what I do.
And you can't do what I do, and that's what makes the world go around.
Yeah. Yep. Leahy.
You hire somebody to do it.
We don't even know what Leahy does, and we know he can't do it. So,
well, it depends.
It depends. Lauren?
See, I gave you my... Now you got all the answers.
Depends. Lauren, you were chiming in before Frank cut you off.
Oh, no. I was just going to say, hearing about his 10-week lead time, I thought that seemed fast, honestly. Because everything I hear these days is 6 months, 9 months.
Yeah, compared to some of the custom
furniture
stuff.
You know, I mean, 10 weeks, but not a big deal.
I was used David to 3 days on some of my stuff that is now 10 weeks. So that it's a big change.
It just doesn't seem that crazy to me. I think people are used to waiting for things right now.
My wife ordered end tables for our bedroom in March.
I believe it.
Okay, hold on. June. All right. Okay, I get supply chain. Oh, sorry. August. Okay, no problem. November. No problem. January. All right, we made it this long. They punted it to flipping July.
Really?
I'm working out of like this plastic thing from Home Depot, which I'm fine with, right? I don't need any fancy thing. I'm like, I'm completely fine with my three plastic drawers. It was like over a year to get two flipping end tables for my master bedroom. I'm like, we're not talking like master craftsmanship here. It's a box with two sliding drawers.
She needs to go to, I could give you a great interior
Don't give her
designer.
Any advice. Don't
no,
give
she
her
needs to go to my interior designer, and she has a guy that makes everything. He just builds it. Builds the couch, builds
I don't
the end
need
tables.
Anything built. It's more money.
It's
the
really.
Same
Actually,
issue, though, David. We
price.
Laid everybody off, and they're not coming back to work. And it's,
I'm good with my plastic end table, okay? I got my okay. two, three drawers. I'm fine, right?
I'm it's sure
got,
your water doesn't spill over.
I don't drink water. 312-981-7200. We've got a listener called in about FEMA, right? About who draws up the floodplains and how can you determine if it's in a floodplain?
It's a great question.
It's a great question. And it's done by FEMA, Federal Emergency Management Act. Is that what FEMA is? Federal
Agency.
Agency. Federal Emergency Management Agency. Agency, something like we'll look it up. FEMA determines. No, the Army Corps of Engineers. What am I talking about? The Army Corps of Engineers determines what's in a floodplain. They draw maps all the time. And we were on another station many moons ago, 10-some years ago. A guy called in who worked for a municipality. Okay, he worked for the land district or something. And he was great. He's like, floodplains change. And maybe when you buy your home... It 5-10 years ago, last year, and then a new map came out, your property might no longer be in a floodplain. And I never thought of that. I thought once you're in a floodplain, you're in a floodplain.
Absolutely, yeah.
But he worked for and this is when I first started doing the radio show. He called in and said, I'm telling you, we deal with this all the time. I don't know if he worked for the county. He worked for some municipality. And it shed a whole new light for, and I want to share this with our listeners because a listener just called in. The Army Corps of Engineers determines what is a floodplain? And a floodplain changes all the time. So if you were in a floodplain, and you might not be in a floodplain anymore, who do you check? Call your local township, right? Like in Northbrook, it's Northfield Sure. Township. It's the village of Northbrook. It could be the city of Park Ridge. Whatever it is, call. And if you're in it, you don't need it, right? And then if you're close to one, you might want to check. And the The water tables might have changed, and you might be in one, and you might want to get flood insurance. This is, flood insurance is nothing that you want to be screwing around with, okay? It is not anything you want to be short. It's just like you own a house, $200,000, $300,000, $400,000, $500,000 home. Buy homeowners insurance, because if you have a flood or you have a fire or you have wind damage, it's going to cost you a hell of a lot more to rebuild it than the premium that you blew off to try to save a couple of bucks. 312-981-7200, home stretch, 312-981-7200. We had a texter text in about rates and a bunch of questions for Stephen A. Leahy. What exactly does he do? We have no idea. 312-981-7200. That is the MegaPros call, text, and photo line. This is Home Sweet Home Chicago on AM 720 WGN.
Home Sweet Home Chicago.
Jim in Orland Park, how are you?
I'm a long-time listener.
How old are you, Jim?
I'm 68.
Have you applied for your senior tax exemption and freeze and all that stuff? I'm glad I was able to make him happy, right?
I think you need to stick to giving financial advice. Not this family planning stuff. Probably not your forte. 67. Have more kids, yeah.
Have more kids.
Have those exemptions.
Now back to David Hochberg and Home Sweet Home Chicago.
312-981-7200. During the break, we were talking about insurance amongst ourselves. You had an insurance horror. Tell yours, I'll tell mine.
My horror story?
Yeah, your horror story that your loving husband...
We were just talking about flood insurance, and then I said, you know, you said all the different ways in which it can happen. When we hung up, I said, or your husband can just leave the bathtub running. And mine was like National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation. We had just moved in our home in May. I had spent almost 2 years completely rehabbing it top to bottom.
How pregnant were you?
6 months. Okay. It was right 5 days before Christmas. We're going to have all the family over for the first time to our new home. I had white oak herringbone floors throughout the house. And if anybody knows anything about herringbone floors, they're very detailed and they're beautiful. It's a big process. And he went to turn the bathtub on and he forgot about it. And he just thought he was going to run me a bath because I was cooking and his grandma was in the kitchen.
To do a solid.
He was trying to just be a nice guy.
Right.
And he forgot about it. And so I was in the kitchen talking with Grandma, showing her the house, the before and the after photos. She just landed from New York. She's in her 90s. You know, I'd been cooking all day. The house is all set for we're having everybody over. And I just decided, okay, I'm going to go, you know, get ready for bed. And I walked down the hallway and I could just see the water.
It's like the Poseidon Adventure.
It was just coming around the corner into the hallway. And I couldn't even believe my eyes, like what I was seeing.
How mad were you on a scale of 1 to 100?
I couldn't speak. I was so angry. I was so, because I knew that this meant I had to move out of the house.
That you just spent 2 years.
I didn't need or want new floors. I had new floors. So I knew what this was going to be.
Did you need or want a new husband?
At the time, I didn't want any husband. I just wanted to be alone. I was ripping every comforter off the beds. I was ripping every towel out of the cabinets. I was throwing, just soaking it up. It was a disaster.
How long ago was this?
I don't know, 4 or 5 years ago, I guess. And then you have to call the water restoration company who comes in, who puts all these mats all over the house. All these machines are running. They're so loud.
Dehumidifiers.
Yeah, it looked like a science project throughout the whole house. And, of course, we're having the entire family over. Grandma just went to bed. She's like, I'm not really sure what just happened. I'm just going to go to bed I'm, like, sopping up her room. Just, well, go to bed. I don't know what to tell you until these people get here and hook up all these machines.
Well, she made it through the Depression. Well, a little water's no big deal.
No big deal.
To her, it's like,
yeah.
I ate rocks. I'm fine. All right? Everything's good.
Yep.
All right. Hey, have you forgiven your husband?
No.
Okay.
He's not allowed to turn on the bathtubs in any of the houses ever.
Is he allowed to go into a bathroom?
Yes, but don't turn on the bathtub ever. Don't take a bath.
Can he turn on a faucet to shave or brush his teeth?
Yes.
Okay, that's it.
That's it.
I hear doubt, Attorney Stephen.
As long as there's, it's just.
I think there's some supervision involved there.
Yes.
Yeah. It was terrible.
Do you have a restrictor on the amount of water that will come out of the bathroom faucet or kitchen faucet?
Quarter dispenser.
Right.
A quarter dispenser would be great. No, I don't.
It's timed.
I'm telling you, I'm still very scarred from the situation. It was horrible. I had to completely move out to one side of the house, do all the floors, move to the other side of the house.
Any marriage counseling?
No.
Would you like to have marriage counseling?
I don't have time.
Steven does.
I don't have time.
He'll do it over the phone.
No time. No time for that.
I am a counselor.
I know. 312-981-7200.
And you had a couple.
I had a couple. So here, mine real quick. I built a house in Valparaiso, Indiana. got married, sold the house in Valparaiso, Indiana, 6 months later after I got divorced. I went to get a haircut, came home, walked down. I heard the shower on downstairs. I'm like, I didn't leave the shower on, so I figured somebody broke into my house to take a shower. All natural, logical, connecting the dots. I walked downstairs, put my foot on the carpet, soaking wet. A PVC pipe broke fitting. It flooded my entire brand new townhouse out. 6 months later, I went out east with my mom. Dropped my car off at the car wash to get detailed while I was out. Figured it was good expenditure of time. It's right by the airport. Car gets stolen with all my stuff in it because I was moving back in with my parents. Then a year later, my condo at 2800 Lakeshore Drive, they were replacing the hot water risers, 2:30 in the morning on a night like tonight where it's bone cold out. I start sweating. I'm like, why is it so hot in here? I get out of my bed. I put my foot on the carpet in the bedroom. Same feeling as I had when I went into my basement in Valpo. I'm like, this ain't good. Sure enough, one of the hot water returns in my unit blew through, flooded the entire tier, 42 floors. I was on the 18th floor. Everybody below me blew out everything. Hardwood floors. My, of course, Bose 7 speakers. Come on. I got the Bose 7 hanging up, Steve. I had the UltraVision Hitachi. UltraVision 50-inch. That's gone, too. And my hardwood floors completely blown out. So I went from having nice insurance to, they're like, you, with the two floods in the car, you're out of here.
You are a bad risk.
You're out. My insurance quadrupled for like 3-4 years until I had, as if I had any choice. I made like I made the fitting break in Valpo. I had my car lifted at the car wash when I was getting detailed, right. And then I had this riser break, right?
Nothing you could control. Nothing. No, they're all out of your control.
So I had some Golden Eagle calf, a burning calf, whatever, insurance company that cost me a fortune. We got to get out of here. Jay, if people want to reach you, how do they reach you, buddy?
847-209-7043.
Frank, if our listeners want to reach out to you at Access,
630-616-6249 or allaboutaccess.com.
Lawrence Dayton, if our listeners want to reach out to you at Jameson Sothesby, how do they reach out to you?
312-909-1329.
Stephen A. Leahy,
WGNTaxman.com.
And I am David Hochberg. Thank you for listening to this show tonight. We're on a regular scheduled time Vestathon next Saturday, 10 until 12, 10 until 1. Help us raise 200 G's to buy 400 vests for the officers of the Chicago Police Department. Very, very, very great cause. Go to CPD. C stands for Chicago. P Police. D for Department. CPD Vest, singular, CPDVest.com or WGNVest.com. Find out more about our initiative and donate so we hit our goal so we could buy bulletproof vests for the officers of the Chicago Police Department. Thanks for listening. Have a great rest of your weekend. We'll be back next Saturday.